Blog Talk Radio.
Warm greetings, brothers and sisters. Hi, this is Miss Bliss.
And I'm here, man.
Are y'all ready for the fire talk? Slow down on the biz and uplift the dialogue.
Oh, yeah.
Listen right along. This is straight off the press. The remix fresh with no prior song. Surprise y'all with the certified thoughtful. Yeah. To get the piece of the piece, it's time to call blow.
Yeah.
The raspberry wind is frank and flavorful. Insatiable eardrums, taste the radio.
Here can't be beat, the flash of me.
Better leave all your doors and all half the week.
What?
Positive and motivational strategy. Successful guest promoter, self-mastery. BlogTalkRadio.com/the remix. Fridays at 10 p.m. Eastern. To pump the sister with a great reason. I must insist, don't miss it this evening. Beach man.
And greetings, everyone, and welcome to The Remix. I am your host, of course, Miss Blue, and you know where you are. You are live in The Remix. Welcome, 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 everyone. I apologize for that, but we are live now, so I want to welcome you to The Remix. I see everyone on the phone lines. The chat room will be opening here in just a short moment, so that you can definitely come on in and get yourself situated and also get yourself settled. Into the chat room as well, or on the phone lines, or from wherever in the world that you might be listening from. Okay, I am your host, of course, Miss Blue, and this is The Remix. Now, tonight, joining us here live in The Remix, it's always a special treat when we have this brother on, and I'm sure that you guys can agree with that. We have Mr. Anderson of iGrowYouGrow.biz. He is here. And so we're going to be talking about all things as it relates to green magic. Have an exciting weekend planned for you this weekend. Joining us on Sunday night, which is going to be at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we will have Siba Haru Alkebulon. He's going to be joining us here in The Remix to answer the question of the riddle of the Blue Lotus. Now, many of you have been sort of following along as we've been trying to get the answer to this riddle. Well, Siba Haru is going to come on. That's going to be one of the things that he's going to be coming on to talk about. Followed by that, he'll be doing reading and also an analyst of the story of the Book of Tahuti and also instructions for the initiate. It's going to be a real interesting show, very powerful show, bringing knowledge, wisdom, and, of course, understanding. So Siba Haru, the Siba over the Hetepu Network, will be joining us here live in The Remix Sunday night. You don't want to miss that. Trying to get the chat room open, you guys, so just kind of bear with me. I had Baby Blue kind of helping me here. Oh, wow. So it's good. I'm glad that it is Friday night. It has been a very long week. A very beautiful week, so it's always good to be in The Remix. I want to wait until I get the chat room open before we actually get ready to get into the music and get into the dance. But for some reason, it's not opening. So, let's see what it does. I don't know, you guys. We're going to hear some music in just a moment. We'll hear a little bit from Baby Blue, and then we're going to get right into the share because we have a lot of things to cover tonight. Mr. Anderson is coming on with a big punch, as always, and he's going to be talking about how to set up a money tree. That's right, a money tree. Can you believe it? Yes, a prosperity money tree for all of those things, the prosperity, anything that you want. We are calling it a money tree, but definitely it is for that energy of prosperity, covering all things health, wisdom, understanding, money, whatever. And you'll learn how to get your own money tree right there in your own home. Okay, there we go. Looks like the chat room is open. Oh, wow. It looks like you guys have already been in the chat room. I guess I'm the one that was trying to get into the chat room. So the chat room is open for those of you who want to join us. All you have to do is go to www.blogtalkradio.com/The Remix and you can come on in. And also, just so you know as well, this show that we're going to be doing tonight and all shows are available always, always, always for download. Make sure you download all of the shows that you hear here on The Remix. You can download them directly if you have an iPhone or iTunes. You can download them. You can download those immediately right there for yourself. So let's get ready to get into the share. I am so glad you guys are here. 646-652-2711 is the number to call. We're going to listen to a little bit of music, and then we're going to get into the share. We'll talk a little bit, and we'll get into the share. Welcome, Mr. Anderson. He's in the chat room, so everyone say hello to him. Give him a good peace and greetings, as we do with the Remix family. So we're going to put on a little bit of music, and we'll be right back after this. So everybody get up and definitely move around a little bit. I'm going to sit this one out, but I will be watching you guys do your thing. We'll be right back. All right. All right. Peace and love to everyone, and welcome to the remix tonight. We're going to be talking about all things green magic as Mr. Anderson of iGrowYouGrow.biz is joining us here tonight. We have a lot of things that we're going to be covering, and we're going to get ready to bring him on right now as well as we continue here live in the remix. 646-652-2711 is the number to call. Once we do open up the phone lines and you do have something that you want to share with us or some questions for Mr. Anderson, you can definitely call in and ask those questions. Coming up again Sunday night, for those of you just joining us, we will have Siba Haru Alkebulon of the Hetepu Network. He will be here to answer the question of the Blue Lotus riddle, as well as other things we'll be talking about as well, such as things for the initiate coming from a comedic standpoint. So that's going to be a great show. And then also following that, we'll have Brother Panic. He's going to be back in the house doing a two-part Friday and Sunday night. He'll be doing that as well. And then we'll have the Reverend Goddess Charmaine and some other names that you may not know as well coming up. Always good to have people with passion, drive, and love, and also good intentions right here on the remix. That's what we do. So we're going to be welcoming Mr. Anderson coming up next.
La 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 la, the remix. Hey, this is Baby Blue. And remember, if nothing else moves you, life will.
Ladies and gentlemen,
stop! It's the remix!
This is Blue Raspberry Wind, and you are live in the remix.
Hey, yeah!
All right, let's go get Mr. Anderson. I'm sure he's on the line here. Peace and greetings to you.
Greetings, greetings, remix, and Miss Blue. How you guys doing this evening?
We are wonderful. Good to have you in the house. Always good to have you come back and share with us as we begin to talk about those things, all things, as it comes to I Grow, You Grow, the official gardener for the Remix family worldwide. And trust me, I know you've been getting the messages, and I've been getting them as well from brothers and sisters all over the world that has really taken on this plight to really try to grow the food themselves that we can actually grow, take it from our garden all the way into our kitchen. So it's always amazing to have you here. I'm going to open it up and just let you share a little bit with everyone who's listening, some who may not know you, about sort of what your passion is and sort of the message and the work that you're doing at this time.
Well, thank you, Ms. Blue. And like I say, it's an honor to be on your platform. I mean, you had some great, great guests on this platform as well as yourself. So I'm honored to be on, and I'm happy that I can share my experiences with everybody. And my mission is to help empower people to produce their produce. That's the number one goal, is to empower people to produce their produce, because it's a gamut of reasons why you need to do it. But the best thing is that you're in control of what you're eating. So you start out by supplementing yourself, and as you learn, then you can produce more produce. And I also not only use I Grow, You Grow as a, you know, spiritual vehicle, a small business, but also a movement to one day envision every kitchen having its own garden. I don't know where anybody lives at that don't have a kitchen. So if you have a kitchen, you should have a garden. That's my movement. So I want to empower everybody to produce their produce, and I want every kitchen to have a kitchen garden. And if I grow, you grow.
Yes, yes, yes. So, and that is so true. If we have a kitchen, we have a garden. So no excuses. I'm sure everybody out there has a place that is a kitchen where they can actually really begin to get into doing their gardening and talking about that. We want to share some things tonight, and I'm so glad that you're going to be bringing these things out and also bringing it up so we can all begin to talk about it. Talk about some of those things that we can begin to grow during this season. I know we're going to be talking about the prosperity tree that you can do, also the blacktail and these kind of things, but it's not too late, no matter what part of the world that you're living in, that you can actually begin to grow things at this time, is it?
That's correct. That's very correct. And right now, it's kind of, you know, you're right in the middle of a season, but depending on your climate, and the research that you do, you can adjust the type of plant that you're growing to optimize its growing condition for you. So, no, it's never too late. Right now, I have a saying where I say early summer equals early autumn or early fall, because right now in the summer, you know, early summer, getting into midsummer, you can start transplanting or start from seed some of the plants that thrive in the autumn season. And when I say autumn season, your nights are not really getting below 50 degrees. So everybody has this climate at one time or another. Some climates happen before others, like, you know, further north, you know, your night temperature is going to start getting lower and lower closer to September. So, you know, your season will be shortened, but we have all types of techniques and tips that will allow you to extend your season and, you know, overcome some of those type of obstacles. But I guess your question was, what can we begin to grow right now, Ms. Blue?
Right, yes.
Okay, right now, if you're in, you know, most areas, you should be able to grow some summer squash right now. You should be able to grow some summer squash right now, like a patty pan squash or a scallop squash or a zucchini. Something like that will grow in the summer, long as the nighttime temperatures, you know, are 60 degrees or something to that effect. If you have a few 50-degree nights, you're still fine. But it will manifest fruit in about 55, 60 days. So you have about 55, 60 days from seed. A summer squash will do that.
Okay, beautiful, beautiful. So no excuses. We can begin to start to do these things now, and we can actually sort of kind of get the movement going when it comes to those things of growing green, growing anything in our kitchen garden. And to talk about that, I want to talk about, because this is something, this is a great time of the year, this month, in the month of July, we're dealing with a lot of energy. As you know, it's a lot of energy on the planet, and there's many different ways that we can actually tap into this energy, and really through really connecting ourselves with nature and really kind of putting our energy into something that we can actually see the reflection of the growth. Because that's what plants do. Once we put the intention in and mix them up with all of the seeds in the soil, this is really symbolic of what we do on an internal level when we begin to manifest things in our own life. And so plants are that great reflection that we can actually look at to see where the love and the care is going and seeing it also grow. I want to talk about sort of the plant, and I believe we called it the blacktail.
Blacktail, yes. Blacktail is definitely a name of this particular plant. It is also known as the Tuscan kale. It has lots of characteristics. I don't know if you wanted me to go into it or were you going to introduce it as... Okay.
Yes, I want you to go into the characteristics, please.
Okay, so this particular kale... It's a cool kale. It likes cool weather, but you can start the seed now in a shaded area outside, or you can start it indoors from seed. And it takes to get to a full size, but the full size of this plant is a very large plant. It takes about 100 days, but the good thing about that is if you start it now, by the time you're in the middle of autumn, it'll be getting very, very large. It'll be very, very large. And you'll be able to you know, get the leaves off of it. You'll be able to take care of it. You'll be able to reap the benefits of this plant during the end of autumn into the winter. And then in the wintertime, you can just add some supplementary light and keep it going, or even pull it out on your patio if you're not in too frigid of a climate. But this plant is very tough. It can hold up temperatures, you know, 0 degrees. But if you get a real good freeze, you might want to put some on it. But it's a very versatile plant. And
yes,
you can definitely start growing it as a prosperity tree.
Yes.
Because it's going to feed you, it's going to teach you, it's going to do a lot of things for you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so let's talk about some of the ways that we can actually place this into a container to begin to get the prosperity tree and have it growing.
Okay. You definitely can, you know, just get your average everyday gardening pot. You know, you can probably get them at Dollar General for, you know, $3 to $4. $5, but this is a money tree, so a prosperity tree. So you wanna put your optimal energy into it, and you know, money is currency. It's like a river that's flowing. The more current you got flowing, the faster the river's gonna go. And if you set up an apparatus like a dam or something, you can turn that currency into energy or electricity. Just think of it that way. So I'm saying all that to say this, you know, don't really spare no expense when you're setting this up. If you got $20, invest the $20. If you got, you know, you want this to be a prosperous thing, because this is going to represent prosperity. So you want to get maximum growth. You want to give it maximum care. You don't want to say, oh, I forgot to water it. That's just like waking up one day saying, oh, I really don't want to make no money today, or I really don't want to be prosperous today. You see what
right.
I'm saying? So you want to put an optimal care in this. So I would say get a nice pot, and then they sell pots where you can water it from the bottom now in the Walmarts and stuff like that. But if you wanted to create a pot of your own, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, Mr. Anderson, so you're kind of going in and out a little bit there. I don't know if it's anything, if it's on our end or how it is, but some people are saying they're having a little bit of hard time hearing you there. So,
okay, you want me to, I'm using headphones. I can take the headphones out.
Okay, are you on a landline phone?
I'm on a cell phone.
You want
me to call back in or?
Yeah, take the headphones off and let's see if that will work a little bit better and see if everybody can hear you. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The headphones out. How am I sounding up?
Still a little in and out, but yes, I think it's going to be okay. We're going to keep going. I just didn't want anyone to miss any of this information, especially since you're giving out about the prosperity plant and how everybody can set this up. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So this is one option for the money tree. This is one option for the money tree. You wanted to give people a couple options for the money tree,
yes.
Or we want to? Okay. This is one option for the money tree. Is the black kale, and the black kale is definitely a great plant. They're very versatile. You can start it now, and it'll grow into the autumn season. And as far as like a container, you can buy the pot and have it on your patio, or if you're going to do it inside, which is going to, you know, you have to get some supplementary light and do some things of that nature to help it grow indoors just as you would outdoors. But I'll do the outdoor portion of it first. You want to start your seed outdoors in a shady place, because you don't want it to get direct sunlight when it's a very young plant. So you
mm-hmm.
want to kind of have it in a shaded area, and you want to water it. And if once it come up from seed, it's going to be a small little plant. And I would suggest with the seed pack in the container that you put it in, you put in like half the pack, as many, you know, half the pound. Yeah. That way your eyes are better.
Right. I was going to say, you're still kind of breaking up. You're going kind of in and out. We still hear you sort of in and out. People are still PMing me.
I'm going to call back in.
Okay, and just press 1, and I'll know that that's you on the line. We are live, everyone, in the remix, speaking with Mr. Anderson of iGrowYouGrow.biz. If you have not taken yourself over there, you definitely want to go over and check out the website. Lots of good things there for you, especially when it comes to getting your kitchen garden and also growing those things for yourself. What we're talking about right now is how you can begin to start your prosperity plant. Once Mr. Anderson comes back on, then we're going to tell you some of the things that you can do once you're planting it and what things you need to put inside the prosperity plant so that you can begin to show this reflection of prosperity in your life and really begin to do this very powerful ritual. So let's see. I think this is Mr. Anderson, and he's back. Peace and greetings. Are you there?
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Is this better?
It is not.
Whoa.
It's not better. Actually, the other phone was actually better. But, again, it may be on my end. I don't want to let's just keep talking and see how this comes in. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So we are the prosperity. Why don't you do your part about the prosperity tree and then –
we'll go from there. Yes. So what you guys can do is you can do, they're still saying, we're going to figure out this sound thing. Just be patient, everyone. Thank you. Send positive energy. So that'll be beautiful. And we'll get some questions. I know you guys are asking questions about Mr. Anderson and the black kale plant as well. And what you're going to do when you get ready to set this up, it's important that you follow these instructions that Mr. Anderson is giving you, because of course, you know, the brother comes from that position and we all love his work and know he knows the exact science of how to put this together. But after you've placed some of the dirt down in the container where you're going to be planting your prosperity tree, what you're going to do is you're actually going to take some copper, take some pennies. And Mr. Anderson is going to tell you the science behind the pennies, but you're going to put the pennies in there. With each one of these pennies, before you put them in there, you need to consider them to be almost like your prosperity seeds. Now, some people will call this a money plant, but we know that it is much more than money. We're really not trying to just obtain the money aspect. You're trying to get prosperity as it connects. But this will help you for those of you who want to get this. You can actually take the pennies, and you want to make sure that you have the pennies, maybe no more than 7, depending on how large of the container. But you want to associate each one of these pennies as sort of your seeds of prosperity that you're going to put in there. And so you'll begin to charge them with energy. Take each one of the pennies, put your thoughts into them, much like how you would charge herbs. By holding them in your hand, this is one of the ways that you can actually do that. But you're going to charge those pennies, and you're going to put them in there just like you would charge crystals. And you would sit them inside the dirt. Yes, I lost the word. Inside the dirt. You're going to put this. I'm looking in the chat room, and that always kind of throws me off. But you're going to put it inside the dirt. And once you put it inside the dirt, you're going to put some more dirt in there. Once you put the more dirt in there, and you'll have the seeds in there. Now, the question a lot of people are asking in the chat room, Mr. Anderson, is this going to be a plant that they start from seeds, or can they do some sort of transplant plant, and do you sell the transplant? That's the questions that are coming from the chat room.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I apologize for the phone system. I mean, I got a cell phone and it's been working good. We've been talking on the phone. I hope it's better now. Better now?
We're going to keep going. Okay. I think they can hear you. So yes.
Okay. So the the kale, this type of kale, you very seldom find it as a transplant. The transplant, you can buy it at some garden stores. I have, you know, I'm not able to ship this young tender plant, so I won't say that, yes, I offer this plant. But I'm in Atlanta, and if somebody is here close by me and they want to meet me somewhere, I can, you know, I can take the plant over to them or something like that, because I got maybe like 6 to 9 of these plants that I have started on my own. But, you know, if they really, really want to get a transplant, but you can start them from seed right now. That's what I'm saying. If you're in this zone 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9, you should be able to start it from seed and still get the kale to come on up as a nice-sized plant, because one of the characteristics of this kale plant is that it gets about 2 foot tall. It gets about 2 foot tall, and the leaves will be long, you know, maybe 12 inches or so, you know, by the time it gets really big, and you can eat these leaves as, you know, salads and all kind of stuff, dehydrate them and make kale chips and all kind of stuff with this kale. But with the so to answer your question, you need to try to start it from a seed. If you can find it at a hardware store like an Ace or somewhere, ask them do they have a kale transplant, and that would be even better. That would get you off to a faster start. I may have a dozen plants that I've started maybe 2 weeks ago. If somebody in Atlanta really want to get in touch with me about it, they can at my email address or go to my website, igrowyougrow.biz, and, you know, get at me through there. And we probably can negotiate something, and I can get you one of my transplants. But I don't have it on a large scale, to answer your question. You know, I can't ship it or anything like that. So the next thing you talked about was the copper.
Yes.
And the copper, not only is it bringing the prosperity or the money or the currency or the thing that we call, that we use as a medium exchange for the currency with the penny is providing the copper. Or what you also can do is go to a hardware store, because the more currency you put into this, the faster it's going to flow, the more energy you're going to get.
Right.
You can get a little copper pipe, or they sell them in the plumbing section or the plumbing store. You can get a little copper pipe and stick it down there and actually use it as a garden stake. And what this is going to do is it's going to draw nitric oxide from the air. Am I breaking up?
Yes, you still are, but you are still breaking up, but I think that we can hear you as well. You are still kind of breaking up, and it could just be the weather. You know, we have this new moon going, which is about the thunder and the lightning. So we know that you're very, very much connected with the planet. So I'm sure that it's just drawing sort of all of that energy in, but we'll keep going. I think that everybody can hear. If they cannot, then we'll open it up for questions. And once we do open it up for questions, we can go back and make sure that it does come across clear. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what we're dealing with is the copper, and the copper is drawing electricity out of the air. It's drawing electricity out of the air and via nitrous oxide. So this, you can use a copper pole, you can use the pennies, but when you stick the penny in, don't bury the penny. Don't bury the penny completely. Leave half of it in the soil and half of it out of the soil, so that it can be kind of as an antenna, you know what I'm saying? So it can be kind of as an antenna to pull it into the soil, because you want to pull that nitrogen into the soil out of the air. And a bean plant does a similar thing to this. It pulls nitrogen out of the air. But once the plant gets tall, and you got that copper stake in there, like the little copper pipe that you bought at the hardware store, the plumbing store, that's going to be like a rod or a lightning rod almost, but it's going to be a nitrogen rod. It's going to be pulling nitrogen out of the air into the soil. but you still want to put the penny in there, even if you get the pole, because you're creating prosperity, spiritual prosperity as well, with the symbolism of the penny, and the copper is just a type of culture that we're doing. It's called electroculture, which is a gardening technique.
Right. Okay. Beautiful. And a very powerful technique that is used to really kind of draw energy in. And really, can you talk about how the plants begin to process this energy as the copper pipe? Some people are asking, what do they need to do with the copper pipe, and sort of what role is that going to play versus the pennies?
Well, like we say, we want them both. The penny is just, you know, for the spiritual aspect of creating the prosperity through the symbolism. But the copper pipe for the electroculture, what it's doing is it's pulling nitrogen energy out of the air. So if you can imagine this, like nylon does that same thing. And if you take a stocking and you rub stocking on your feet, and you rub the stockings on your feet, and then you go touch the doorknob, you get a shock. And and the reason you get that shock is because you have pulled energy out of that friction or whatever between that nylon and that carpet, but that's just the nitrous oxide that's falling into that carpet, so to speak. So what's happening with this copper pole is it's just a little small pole, you're putting it in a container, or if you've got the plant in the ground, you're just using it as a stake. Because, like I said, this plant is going to get about 2 feet tall, so it's going to start growing tall. And once it starts growing tall, it's going to have to deal with the wind. It's going to want to lean over on its own weight and things of that nature. So you can take the copper pole and have it as a stake or a support for the kale, the black kale or the Tuscan kale. And once it starts getting tall, you can take pantyhose and support it, tie it to the stake, tie a loop around the pole, tie a loop around the stem of the kale, and it's going to support it from falling over. But at the same time, it's going to create that energy. It's going to pull that energy out of the air. And the plant thrives off of nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, which is the three things that it's trying to get out of the soil. But it also can take it in its leaves through foliage feeding, and that's what it's getting from the sun. It's pulling that energy from the sun, you know, all that process. So this is what the copper is doing. It's supporting the plant, and it's drawing nitrogen oxide out of the air and energy and stuff for the plant. And this is going to get that plant a lot of prosperity, and it's going to be full of that energy. It's going to be full of that energy, and that's what you're trying to get. You're trying to get that energy. You're trying to get that prosperity. It's going to feed you. It's going to give you nutrition, all things of that nature.
Yes.
And if you got the space, you want to set it up to where you can have 5 or 6 of these plants. Or if you're just going to do one pot inside your house on your sunniest window or on your balcony or on top of your roof or wherever you can do it. I mean, you can do it in several different places. If you just got a patio and you want to make a makeshift container, you can use a 5-gallon bucket. You can use a milk jug cut in half and put it down in there, but just make sure you create drainage holes so that it won't be sitting in water, because, you know, you don't want the roots sitting in water. So if you use a cut-off milk jug or something to that nature, or a juice bottle, or, you know, some type of red container, because you wanted to bring the red in, didn't you, Ms. Blue?
Yes, yes. We're going to talk about the red and the significance of really working with some of those other plants that we're going to begin to talk about. One of the questions that is going on, and I'm just kind of getting this from questions people are sending me and also from the chat room that they're asking, is how often do you begin to water this plant? And is there a difference between a plant being inside and a plant being outside? Because I know that that's something that people sort of kind of get confused with.
Okay, yeah. When you water in the plant at the very beginning, when it's just a seed, you want to keep it moist at all times until it germinates. So that may mean watering it every day. And then once it comes up as a transplant, you want to keep it moist and keep it shaded. You don't want to let it get direct sunlight because it'll burn it up. And you want to water that like every day, keep the soil moist. But as the plant matures, you can pull back on the watering. And in a container, you have to water at least every other day, depending on how hot it is. But the true test is to stick your finger down in the soil. If you stick your finger down in the soil, maybe one digit down, and it's dry, you need to water it. But if you stick your finger down one digit and your finger is moist, then you don't have to water it. But you optimally want to put like a mulch or something on top to conserve moisture, and you want to get to a point where you only water that plant once a week. You only water it once a week if you can conserve the moisture. And that's in the ground. In the container, you optimally every other day, maybe every third day. But as far as indoor versus the outdoor, the indoor, growing indoors, did I answer that question?
Yes, you did. So the question is definitely for everyone is that you can grow this inside. You need to make sure that you have it somewhere where you're getting plenty of sunlight in that particular window. Talk about the air quality, too, because all of the elements play such a key role when it comes to us growing things indoors versus outdoors.
Okay, so the indoor process, just like outdoors, you got to stake the plant. You got to keep the worms off the plant. You got to, water the plant. You got to take care of the plant outside. But when you grow it inside, you have to take care of the plant as well. So you're going to have to incorporate air circulation in the area that it's in. You don't want that to be a suffocating area of your home. You want to either set up a fan and have air circulating, because it definitely needs that air circulating around the plant. If it's in a, a stagnant place, it's going to be stagnant. So you need to incorporate some airflow.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because if you ever seen a zucchini plant or a plant suffer from a fungus, that's because it's either crowded up and no air circulating, or it's too damp. And that's when you get the fungus or the black mold and different things like that. So you want the air circulating. And that cuts down on the disease. It cuts down on the bottom of the leaves getting yellow and things of that nature. And then if you're doing it indoors and you got the sunniest window you can find, you still may want to incorporate some supplemental light, even if just a fluorescent type of light. You want to incorporate some type of supplemental light, maybe a lamp that's up high or something to that effect. Because these plants are going to need a lot of light if they're going to be indoors to really get the optimal growing. And if you can't open the window that's by it and let some natural air come in on it as well. Because like you say, with the copper rod, you're trying to pull that nitrous oxide out of the air. And it's not a lot of, it's some nitrous oxide built up in your house, but it's more outside because of the grass and all of the trees and different things of that nature.
Right. Yes. Beautiful. Beautiful. So, yes, I think that definitely covers that. We're going to be talking about some more plants, like you said. And one of them is also how you can actually take a juice container. And we'll talk about that, the juice container. The reason I said to use the color red is because, of course, red is connected with the first chakra. It's connected with the root energy seat, which has a lot to do with the security, your foundation here on this particular planet, and definitely about functioning or your foundation in this physical world. And it's also connected with earth energy as well, too. And so this will be a symbolic reminder to you about building your foundation. So you can actually use a juice container. So I want you to talk about how they can actually set the juice container up, and then talk about some of the things that they can actually begin to plant in there that we talked about, the rosemary, the basil, eggplants, and also hot peppers, and also some of those plants that can still be transplants that can actually come in as well, too.
Okay, okay. Yeah, with this bottle, with the like the 2-liter bottle or a juice bottle or a milk jug or something plastic, you can you just got to picture the juice bottle or whatever sitting upright where you screw the cap on the top. So right there, you would go down to the middle and cut it in half with some scissors or something, cut it in half, and then take the top where the top screw on or the top half and turn it upside down. So that's upside down. You got the other half of the bottle sitting there. The one that's turned upside down, you want to put your dirt in it upside down. The top, where you screw the top is now the bottom. And you're putting the dirt, the potting soil or the compost. If you use compost, use mushroom compost. Don't use the manure if you're going to have this indoors because it's going to stink. And you don't want to have that stink in there. So use potting soil. And on the bottom where you screw the top in, it's the bottom now, and you got that cut off, and the dirt is in there. You want to poke some holes where the cap screw in at. Poke some holes all the way around there. And then in the container that you had, that was the bottom that you cut off, you pour your water in that, and you slip the top half that you now turned upside down and you got the dirt in, set it inside that. So the bottom part got water in it and it's holding the part that you cut off the top and turned upside down and poked the holes in around it.
Yeah.
And now you got a pot. You got a pot, but you got the little pointy part where the cap is sitting down inside the water. But it's got them holes in it. And them holes is going to wick the water up from the bottom. And all you have to do is fill that water up in there, and it's going to wick the water up from the bottom so you don't have to worry about watering it from the top. And then you put your plant down in that soil, and the roots are going to grow down, and they're going to start drinking the water up out through there. So this is a apparatus you can use for indoor and out on a patio or something like that. But the type of thing you want to put in there is basil. You want to put basil in there because it's not a big plant. It don't require a whole bunch of space. You want to put a rosemary transplant in there, like a herb. You want lemon balm. You want mint. But you got to try to find these at your stores as transplants because they take a long time to start with seed. It takes a long time to start that with seed. So you want to try to find the plant, the rosemary
right.
mint plant. Or even aloe vera. We can't forget about the aloe vera. I think you wanted to talk about the aloe vera. It will work in this situation,
yes.
too.
Yes, yes. We will talk about the aloe vera. The aloe vera plant, what else did we say? It was another one. Mint, rosemary.
Yeah.
But I want you to talk about eggplants because eggplants are, wow, they have their own uniqueness in them as well and a lot of magical properties in them too. So talk about how we can begin to grow the eggplant. Is it too late to start growing an eggplant at this particular time?
Well, the eggplant is a summer vegetable. It thrives in the heat. And also, if you get the Japanese variety eggplant, the Ichiban eggplant, that's the long, skinny one, it grows well in containers, like pots. It grows well in pots. And I do have a YouTube video up of my eggplants in a pot that will give you a very inexpensive glimpse at how you can grow eggplants on your patio. And it's in a pot, and the pot probably, like I said, only costs about $4 at Dollar General. And I put the compost that I make as my soil, and I grow it out of there. And I got my rosemary in a pot, and I got my thyme in a pot on this video. It's called the Kitchen Garden Part 1. I Grow, You Grow Kitchen Garden Part 1. It's
right.
I Grow, You Grow in YouTube, and you'll see it. But the eggplant, and you can put the eggplant in if you're in zone 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9, which is probably like Ohio, you know, coming on down Virginia, the Carolinas, Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, California. If you out there, you can grow pretty much all the time. You can grow all the time if you out west Arizona area. But in the, you know, Texas, you can grow eggplants right now. You know, you can start them from seed, but you're going to be running pretty close to the end of the fall before you really start getting something from a plant. But
yeah.
I mean, from a seed. But if you can find the plant, some hardware stores still had a plant out. And then to my people in Atlanta with the Ichiban eggplant, now I do have an abundance of those plants. I probably have a good 75 eggplants available as transplants, but they're very small transplants. But that's definitely going to give you like a 4 or 5 week advantage to plant your own seeds.
Yeah. And that's and definitely with the basil plant, I want to say this too. You know, you can actually take some basil once you grow it yourself and you can put it in your pocket. It is also a plant that is connected with prosperity as well too. So the basil has a lot to do with that. Basil also really helps when it comes to those things of having sympathy for others. If there's a situation and you really just need to have some sympathy for that, or it causes sympathy between two people, I guess is the better word to be said. And that's why you'll see basil in a lot of the love rituals. You'll see basils. You'll see them add basil in incense. So these are a lot of different things that you can do with the basil, as well as when it comes to those particular things of prosperity. So basil is another one of those plants along
now
with the love. Mm-hmm.
Now let me tell you about the basil. Basil, you have a few different varieties of basil.
Mm-hmm.
And the basil is a very versatile herb, like you said, with all of the rituals and the connections. But you could grow a variety called queen basil or Thai basil. And
yes.
Thai basil, it has like burgundy flowers and green leaves, but it gives off a licorice flavor. This is Thai basil. It grows good in containers. Thai basil or queen basil. Starting from seed, you're looking at about 90 days. You have a small, nice small plant that you can cut off the tops and it'll keep growing back. You have plenty basil, which is the regular basil leaf that people is familiar with. And then you have a perpetual basil. Perpetual basil is the basil. It has the little yellow variegated leaves. It has green and with the yellowish white color in the leaves. I also grow a lemon basil, which has a nice lemony scent to it,
yeah.
And a lime basil that has a lime scent to it. So it's all different types of basil that you can experiment with. They even have a purple basil, where it's all purple. The leaves come out like a dark, dark purple. That's called purple basil or opal basil. Purple basil,
yeah.
Or opal basil. So you got lots of different options with the basil. That would be a good plant to put in outside, inside, patio. You can grow it out of a glove. If you go to the YouTube, you can see me with the kids planting seeds in a glove. And you just screw the glove to the fence or whatever. And grow it out the glove. But if you do it in the glove, you got to water it every day.
Every single day.
And when you're doesn't hold the moisture.
Mm-hmm. When you're talking about the glove, you're actually talking about a physical glove. You have that on your YouTube video where they can actually see the glove as well, too, correct?
Yeah, they can see the glove. It's called a gardening glove. And what it is like an old work glove. It's just an old work glove that you repurposing. And you can drill a glove into a stake, or you can drill it into a patio. You can drill it. If you got an apartment or something, you can open up the window, and on that wooden sill, you can drill you 4 or 5 gloves right on that windowsill outside, put the dirt in there, and water it every day with what you're putting in there, your basil, your whatever, your thyme, your whatever plant you're putting in there. I got beans in there. You can put nasturtium flowers, that's edible flowers that got a pepper taste, so you can have it looking decorative. If it's hanging off your window, it'll have flowers in it. But you open the window and you water it every day and you feed it with liquid fertilizer like the compost tea, which we're going to talk about tonight, I believe.
Yeah.
Fish emulsion, worm castings, different things you can do to water that fertilizer into that glove, and that's an innovative way to grow outside, but still maintenance it just from a windowsill.
Yes, yes. And, you know, one of the things that you can also do with basils, I want to add that in there, because lots of great information. It's always a joy to have Mr. Anderson come on. And if you guys have not signed up for his YouTube page, he has an amazing YouTube page that takes you step by step. You can see a lot of these things on the videos there and a lot of the work that he does. You can sign up by going to www.igrowthelletterugrow.biz, and you can sign up for everything there. It'll give you links to all the things there, as well as the podcast, how you can actually get your own personal consultation from Mr. Anderson, so that you can get your garden off to a great start. So whatever you're using your green magic for, you can have it indoors or outdoors. He can take you step by step and really show you. He works with our babies. He works with our children, and I love that project. And he also has a coloring book as well. So you guys who have children out there, let's not forget our babies in this, as we're continue to get into really connecting ourselves with earth energy as we begin to ground ourselves. I do want to tell you guys about the basil, something that's really, really great for some of you who really want to be able to get into more lucid dreaming, astral traveling, and these sort of things, is actually you can drink some basil juice right before going to bed, and that's actually going to help you to really, really tap into that particular realm as well. So you can mix it however you need to. Take the juice, take the fresh basil, add it in, mix it with the juice, and begin to drink it and use it that way. So far, I want to kind of catch us up to date to where we are. I know you guys have a lot of questions, and we will get to that as well. Pantyhose and gloves. What a combination. What a combination. What a combination for growing these things. Let's talk about now, and I don't know if you really touched on this, but the hot peppers, Mr. Anderson, and because it's the time of the year to really begin to grow these hot peppers.
Okay, yeah. The hot peppers, you should be able to still get hot peppers at your hardware stores or your garden centers, because they are a summer pepper. I mean, a summer plant. They like to grow in the heat. But hot pepper varieties, I mean, range from all types of different types. You can have sweet peppers, bell peppers, super hot peppers, mild peppers. I mean, it's unlimited what type of peppers you can grow right now. And pepper will grow good in a pot if you do it on a balcony or something. But indoors, you might not have much success with a pepper indoors unless you add some supplemental light, because it's a fruiting plant. It means the fruit comes out of the flower. So it's going to need a lot of sunlight and energy to create that fruit. But what specifically did you want to know about the pepper? Like what varieties I have or what?
Yeah, let's talk about some of the different varieties of peppers and just really kind of give some instructions about how you can actually grow these, like the same way.
Okay.
Is it best to get a transplant? Is it best to actually deal with the seeds? What's a good thing to do this time of the year with the peppers?
Okay, this time of the year, you definitely, unless you're living in like California or Jamaica or somewhere, you definitely want to try to do a transplant. And you can, like I said, you want to do a transplant. If you started from seed now, it would be, you would have to be a great, great grower to manifest some peppers before it got cold, because peppers take a good 100 days from seed, 120 days from seed. But the variety of peppers that I'm familiar with are the hot peppers. I grow the jalapeno, I grow the Scotch bonnet here in Atlanta. I grow the Scotch bonnet pepper. I grow the cayenne pepper, and I grow a poblano pepper. And I recently just started growing a tricolor pepper, which is kin to the fish pepper. And the fish pepper is like an old heirloom pepper that when slavery was going on in America, the grandmothers and stuff saved these seeds for this particular pepper. And this pepper plant Am I breaking up?
No. You're coming in.
Okay,
fine.
Good. This pepper has like a variegated leaves, and this is the pepper that's used in the Old Bay seasoning. Because the pepper is a tricolor, it come out in different colors. Sometimes the pepper may be white, but it's still a hot pepper. It'll get chocolate brown, it'll get red, it'll get orange. But they would take the white pepper and use it like as a white paprika. And it's the seasoning that's in the seasoning Old Bay. Because it was a heavy concentration of these cooks and gardeners in the Chesapeake Bay. So a lot of these peppers have their history, like the Scotch Bonnet is synonymous with Jamaica and the Caribbean for its extra special flavor along with its heat. And, you know, the jalapeno is good in all the sauces because it's a medium-range pepper. It's not too hot and it's not too mild. And the cayenne pepper is a popular pepper in all the Louisiana hot sauces. But I also take these peppers and bring them in the kitchen because I'm a kitchen gardener. I bring them in my kitchen and I put them in repurposed liquor bottles or whatever with apple cider vinegar and garlic and onion and salt, sea salt, and I make like a pepper sauce. To where I can make vinaigrettes and I can make, you know, cucumber sauce and add it to my jalapeno, you know, my guacamole and all this different kind of stuff. So these peppers are very versatile. And the pepper also speeds up your metabolism. It's not only hot, but it speeds up your metabolism. And metabolism equals energy, equals how you burn off, you know, calories and such.
Right,
so the pepper has a great thing, but growing the pepper right now, you need to start from a plant. You need to start from a plant, a transplant, and do it outside or on a balcony. If you do it indoors, you could spend some money and get one of them aero gardens that's got the light and got the water and all of that, you know, but I don't endorse their product. But if you just really dead set on growing inside, I would say use the aero garden. It does work. I have used it before, but it is an expensive piece of equipment. But hey,
yeah.
You know, like the raw food Sunfire guy say, he say you got to take care of your body with what you eating. You live in your body. You don't live in your house. And look
yeah.
how much money we pay for our house.
That's correct. Yes.
You know what I mean? But I'm not selling their product. I'm just saying I want everyone to grow something. Once you grow it yourself and have a relationship with the plant and experience the energy that it gives you, and then you get to, you know, manifest it into a food and bring it in your kitchen and actually feed yourself with it, you'll understand why so much energy and science behind, you know, growing your own food and producing your mm-hmm. own produce.
Yes. Beautiful. And so also, let's talk about, now we're going to get to the aloe plant, and just talk about how easy it is to care for aloe plant, and what are some of the best ways to begin to grow it, and is there certain things that we need to do to really cultivate and nurture the soil?
Yes, the aloe vera plant. Everybody know when they got cut or burnt, they pulled off that aloe vera and smeared it on them. So the aloe vera is a very versatile plant. It don't take a lot of water. That's one plant container that you probably could water maybe once a week or do the soil test with your finger. But you buy an aloe vera plant in the hardware stores. They're abundant in there. They always have them year-round because they're indoor plants. You take that and you can put it in that container that we described where you cut it in half and turn it upside down and you have the water receptacle. Or, you know, you can buy a plant, a pot. But the thing with the aloe vera, it has to be in a certain type of soil, which is like a mixture of different ingredients to make up this soil, because the aloe vera is a succulent plant in the cactus family, meaning that it stores its water inside of itself. So the soil that it needs to be very loose and dry, so you can get the the soil mix for succulents. You got to go get the soil mix for succulents, or you can make your own. But if you go through all that trouble to get the three ingredients to make your own, you can just buy the bag that's already made. It's like vermiculite, perlite, and some other kind of soilless soil that makes up this mixture. So,
right.
But you want the succulent, and it's a special kind that, you know, doesn't hold the water, but it has some moisture in it for this aloe vera plant. And the aloe vera plant can be used in smoothies as a cleanser, you know, for irritated stomachs and bowel movements and all different kind of stuff. Can treat the skin. So the aloe vera definitely can bring you prosperity if you take care of it well, too.
Right. Yes, it is a plant of prosperity, protection, really excellent for all things used in the home, as well as even having the aloe vera juice to drink for healing purposes on an internal level. So the aloe vera is definitely a plant that, if you don't have one, it's one that you should consider, whether you have it indoors or whether you have it outdoors, just to have that. Definitely keeping the aloe vera plant indoors is actually going to keep a lot of that negative energy out. It also will capture some of that negative energy as well. So beautiful, beautiful. Yes, beautiful.
And one thing I wanted to add, Ms. Blue, when you're growing your plant, you should get familiar with communicating with your plant. You should get familiar with communicating with the plant. And some people might think that to be strange, but that is not strange.
Right.
There's a scientist called Cleve Baxter. B-A-X-T-E-R, did some experiments with plants about communicating with plants and how plants have feelings and connections with humans. And it was one experiment that he did where they took two leaves off of a plant, and one leaf they gave to one person and one leaf they gave to another person. And one person was told to communicate with the plant, with the leaf, and the other person was told just to ignore the leaf. The one that got communication and attention all the time without it being on the stem or the vine or nothing stayed green for about 2 weeks. The one that didn't get any attention or didn't get spoke to or anything dried up in like 7 days. And this leaf was disconnected from the root, from the stem, from everything. So that communication kept that plant alive for an additional 14 days. And they also did an experiment where they hooked up some electro thing, like a lie detector thing, to a plant and talked nice to the plant, and the plant was registering good. And then he got a lighter and lit the lighter and act like he was going to burn the plant, and the plant started giving off, like, shaking, like on a lie detector test when you're telling a lie. It started reacting like that off the electrodes that was plugged up to the plant. Now, you can Google this and read all this on your own. I'm just using this as an example to show you how communicating to your plants, how your plants know your intentions, how your plant is going to, if you give it positive energy, it's going to give back positive energy to you. That's why we're, you know, Miss Blue, if you're a fan of Miss Blue, you know you're getting some spiritual power, you're getting some magic, you're getting some guidance. So this is the money tree aspect of things.
Yes, beautiful. A lot of people are saying, a brother in the chat room, Keith is saying that his father actually planted an aloe plant back in 1956 and it is still there. So these are things that can go on. They are things that plants do have their own level of intelligence, and that's been measured. At one time, I think it was also a study done back, I want to say in the 1940s, 1950s, where they actually measured that some people were actually going into the military and their level of education was below plant level. And I thought that was interesting when I heard somebody say that, like, what do you mean below plant level? Well, actually, plants have a high level of intelligence that really come along with them. I know that I talk to my grass, I talk to my trees, I talk to my plants. I talk to all of the living things that I keep in my house. So, yes, they can definitely communicate with you, and you can see the growth in them as well. I grew up with my mother talking to plants, and she used to have this plant that used to grow in the house that literally in our formal dining room, people were scared to come in because the plant was huge, and she would spend time talking to her plant every single day, you know. And so this is something that we actually should do. We should begin to really begin to communicate with our plants as well, too. Yes.
Definitely.
Should.
So
it really
should. I wanted to make mention of that. And then what did you want to cover next, Ms. Blue?
I would like to open it up for questions in the chat room. I think a few people do have some questions. So I think it's a good time. We still have about an hour and 40 plus minutes to go in the forum tonight to open it up for questions for those of you who have questions for Mr. Anderson. 646-652-2711 is the number to call. Press 1 when you get on the phone line. If you're calling international, you can actually Skype in as well. So don't sleep on the plants, you guys. Don't sleep on the plants. Lots of information there, lots of things to help you in your own path, on your journey in transformation. And these are things that you can actually grow with your own energy and continue to move that energy and really digest it inside your body. So these are some reflections that you can see on an external level and begin to process them on an internal level. It makes a difference when you're putting live food into your body, especially plants. We're going to talk about water a little later because Mr. Anderson has his own secrets when it comes to water. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah,
beautiful.
That's right.
So we'll be talking about that as well. So 646-652-2711 is the number to call, and press 1 when you get on the phone line so that we know that you're there and you have a question for Mr. Anderson. And if you're on the phone lines and you want to join us in chat, you can certainly do that as well. Come on over to the chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/theremix. So we're going to go to the phone lines now. I see there are callers there waiting. And we'll go to the caller. It looks like calling in from area code 816. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
816.
That is you. Who's on the line, please?
This is Cha Power. Caller from Kansas City.
Okay, greetings. You had a question for Mr. Anderson?
On the aloe vera. What about if how can you, like, I know people that have the plant. I don't have it, and I just wanted to get one. Couldn't I get part of their plant and start growing my own?
You definitely can do that. If you want to do that, you have to get your pot and you have to get the soil that I recommended. It was a succulent or a cactus, soil for cactus or for succulent. And you just take a cutting off of the aloe vera plant that, you know, your friend let you get, and you submerge it,
right,
you know, like halfway in or a little bit in, and in the middle of the pot that you buy, and you use a water sprayer at the beginning just to spray directly in that area there. And it will catch roots, but you want to let that end dry up first. When you cut it, you want to let that end dry up first. You don't want to stick it in there wet and, you know, exposed like that. You want to let that end dry up.
Okay, one other question. What about watering? What type of water will tap water work for the plant?
Tap water will work, but it's a few things you can do to increase the, you know, the level of municipals, or, you know, get the municipals out of the water. I mean, it'll work, but the municipal water, we all know it has chlorine and fluoride and different things in it. But if you really wanted to do some water, you could you know, do some distilled water, or you could put just some little bit of Epsom salt in the water. Just put a little bit of Epsom salt in the water, and it's going to kind of balance out the pH and drive some of the municipals out of the water, and then water your house plants with that. Or eggshells, you can pump the calcium up so that the, you know, the calcium will enrich the water more. You can put eggshells in the water. There's several different things you can do to the water.
All right, thank you, Dr. Hill. Also, Ms. Blue, thank you also. And just one more comment, and that these questions come from an individual that just doesn't have the capital to go to a hardware store and purchase things that you have specified. So we have to go in the backyard or out across the street, whatever, and find different things and make it work. Thank you, sir.
So, even if you limit it in that aspect, there's a few things you can do as well. Dandelion. You can take dandelion. If you can find dandelions grow in the hood, anywhere dandelions, you can find dandelions.
Yeah, I'm on that.
Get you some soil from anywhere, from a park, from anywhere. Get you some soil. And with the soil, take that soil and just kind of mash that soil up and break that soil up and take all the little rocks out of that soil and just work with that soil that you got from there. Take eggshells and put in that soil. Take coffee grinds and put in that soil. Just enrich that soil that you got out of the park as much as you can. Get you a bucket, get you something to make you a container. Take that dandelion and dig as deep as you can around that dandelion, deep as you can, and put it in that pot and grow you a dandelion in your home or in your backyard or anywhere like that. A dandelion root, if the soil is loose enough, that root can get to be about 3 to 4 feet long, and a dandelion root. And you can eat the dandelion leaves and salads. You can make all kind of things with the dandelion. And then the root, the dandelion root, you can take the dandelion root, wash it off real good, and roast it. And roast it, and then break it up and make roasted dandelion tea. They sell that in the stores for $7 or $8. So if I grow, you grow. So I will give a person who has zilch, if you can find a bucket, you can find a old 2-liter soda can or something, poke holes, make sure you get drainage, create a rich environment for some dandelion, and use the dandelion as your prosperity. Because the dandelion, you know it'll grow in obscure areas and situations. If you put it in an atmosphere and you giving it care and you communicating with it, you can use this dandelion, the root and the leaves and everything, to bring you prosperity, to give you nutrition, and to do things for your well-being. So I don't want to, you know, finances to be a hindrance, and if you can't run there, you can try dandelion.
Yeah, that's it. I'm on it. Thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome. Thanks for calling in. Oh, wow. Lots of great information here. We're going to continue to take questions. You can also take the dandelion head, and you can actually send a message to your loved one. So you just pull the little dandelion, and you blow it in the direction, sending the message of love to your loved one that it's going in that direction. So no matter how near and far, I promise you, once you do that, they'll either call you or they'll get in touch with you and say, you know, they were just thinking about you. So you can use the dandelion in so many different ways. I love it that you brought that up. I grow, you grow, you guys. Mr. Anderson, you definitely want to get your questions in tonight. We're going to go to the next caller calling in from area code 402. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hey, Ms. Blue. It's I.
Oh, greetings, brother I.
Hey, I couldn't get in the chat room tonight. I'm just on the phone.
Oh, well, it's open now. You can try. You can definitely try to. You can try again. I apologize for that.
Greetings,
Mr. I.
Hey, Brother Anderson. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How's it growing tonight? How's it growing tonight?
I'm going to have to send y'all some pictures of my plants. They just going nuts.
Oh, wow.
I'm ready to make a salad. But I didn't hear, I heard you mention it before, Ms. Blue, but I didn't hear you say it tonight about a good book, The Secret Life of Plants. I think it was,
yes.
I don't have it in front of me, but it's one of my favorites. Christopher Burke and Peter Tompkins or something like that. That's a really good one, one of my favorites. But Brother Anderson, do you have any books? A material three.
You know, I have been sent a dandelion to get on the good foot with that. I don't have literature available at this time. The only thing I have in writing, as far as a book or anything, I did a coloring book for my youth gardening program, and it is a comic book type thing where the kids could color and learn about gardening. I mean, it gives you some good information, but it's nothing on the level of an intellectual, but it'll teach somebody a beginning. But I got my dandelion message, and I'm going to get on that for you, brother.
Okay. I'll keep an eye out. I'm waiting on it.
Definitely. Thank you. But
yeah.
The aspect that I am coming from, the angle that I am going to be coming from is the God, the garden, the gateway to a higher self, using garden principles as a spiritual vehicle. So I'm going to be incorporating a lot of plant, plant communication, and using the garden as a spiritual vehicle and different things of that nature. So it'll be definitely a juicy event.
Yes, we love it. We cannot wait for that, you guys. 646-652-2711. We're still taking your calls. Press 1 when you get on the phone line if you have a question for Mr. Anderson of I Grow, You Grow. So here we go. We're going to go to the next caller. Calling in, it looks like, from area code 253. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're going
to get to me. Hello? Is it me?
Yes, it is. Can you turn your computer speakers down for us, Griffin?
Yes, ma'am. All right. How are you doing tonight, everyone?
Great. How are you?
I'm good. I actually had something to kind of put out there. What I noticed, like, when I used to work, you'd go into, the boss's office, you tend to see, either a rubber tree or a prickly plant on their desk, like a cactus or something. So the question is both for you, Ms. Blue, and Mr. Anderson. Do prickly trees and cactuses tend to associate themselves with money?
Well, definitely the cactus is associated with prosperity. I would say that anything, and this is my answer, anything that grows is associated with prosperity. Because, again, we're talking about energy. And we know that plants play a very significant role when it comes to sort of just that ecosystem and how things evolve, here on the planet. So they're taking in all of the elements, the earth, the air, the fire, and the water, plus as well as all of the currents that also come through as well, too. So know that all of these things that come in have to do with that same energy that plants have as well, too.
Okay. Well, the thing I really was thinking of was the prickly plants, things that really grow with prickles. In my mind, I'm thinking of it as protecting finances or, I don't know. That was just a thought.
You can definitely look at it that way. You're talking about the prickly plants, the plants that have the pricklies on them. I would say, yes, they go to that. Most of the prickly plants are there for protection. And you can also see their behavior that they mimic in nature. They have those there for protection. Protection so you can't get to something. So I can see that analogy, yes. Mm-hmm.
Because the thing is, I was going to do it with a plant that I have a lot of around my home, which is called Euphoria, or It's Euphoria. I don't miss up. Do you know that plant, Euphoria? It's grows with a lot of prickles, and when you break it, it has this white milk that comes out of it. So, you familiar with that, Mr. Anderson?
I never have seen that one. I seen like a milk thistle. It was a type of weed, something like that. And when you break it, it had that white milk in it.
I'm sorry, that's an inside joke, the milk thistle.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's the plant that I know about that when you break it, if you give up white pus. Man, I think I jumped into a loaded question.
I'm so sorry. Oh, my gosh. Where is Brother Panic when you need him? Okay, go ahead.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. You know, like you say, communicate with the plant. I mean, I'm not trying to sound far-fetched or nothing to that effect, but, you know, that plant will manifest itself to you, which it probably is doing right now, letting you know that, hey, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to do some research on me, see if, you know, maybe you can use it for some type of salve or some type of ointment or something like that. It may,
I don't think this, the milk thistle probably, yeah, sure, but this other plant, Euphoria or Crown of Thorn, I hear that it's poisonous. The milk that comes out of it, I hear it's poisonous. So the only reason why I was thinking of that was when I was much younger, when I would go to interviews, you would always see these rich folks. They would have like cactuses and, you know, bamboo looking things, and, you know, just thinking that, you know, maybe that whole prickle plant thing has some association with money.
I'm sure it does.
And the other question I had for you quickly, Miss Blue, was how do you make the juice? Do you blend it fresh with the fresh herbs? Do you let it dry to the
you're
actual
traveling about for the basil? You're talking about for the basil juice? For the basil juice, there's many different ways that you can. It's going to be based upon your preference or your taste. You can actually just take the fresh basil, and you can actually, you know, of course, wash it and do that, and you can grind it in to a juice that way and mix it with sort of a juice as well, too. You can do it that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another way you can do it, Griffin, is I've tried this with rosemary, and you can do it with basil or basil. If you have a tea, they make these tea pots.
Oh,
where you put the herb in there and you pour the hot water in there. You pour the hot water in there over the herb and you let that steep for a while, and then it has a strainer on the top or a strainer on the bottom. Mine is on the bottom, where I just set it on top of my cup and it drains the liquid right out of the bottom into my teacup or whatever. And it's got all that hot water that's been brewing in there with the fresh herb. And I drink it that way. I put honey in mine, but most people use agave or something just to give it a little sweetness, or some stevia. You can put some stevia, plant
honey
with the
is
herb.
Actually.
Yeah, that's real sweet. And you can make your tea like that. You can make it out of any herb, thyme, rosemary, basil, any kind. But the basil is, you know, what the discussion was.
What got my attention was when Ms. Blue said it helps with astral traveling. I didn't know that. That really got my attention. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad something got your attention. That's a good thing.
Yes, Ms. Blue. All right. I'm going to go back to class and let someone else get on.
Okay, Griffin. Always good to hear from you, Griffin, out in Jamaica. So it's good to hear from you. Thanks for calling in, Griffin.
Take care.
All right. So good questions as we continue right here live with Mr. Anderson of iGrowYouGrow.biz. If you have not gone over and signed up for the services Mr. Anderson has, get yourself right on over there and make sure you get on that list. He's also on Facebook as well, too. You can connect with him on Facebook, too, by going to iGrowYouGrow.biz as well as sign up for his YouTube page. So we're going to continue to take your calls at this time. 646-652-2711 is the number to call. We're going to go to the caller calling in from area code 843. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hi, Ms. Blue. This is Nancy Lockhart.
Hi, Nancy. How are you? The country's top leading legal analyst is calling in.
Hi, Mr. Anderson.
Greetings, Nancy. Greetings. Thank you for all your support and information and replies on my Facebook page and my YouTube page. I really, really appreciate that. It keeps me motivated.
Oh, well, thank you. You motivated me a lot this year. I have squash and I have cucumbers, but the other things are like dying because it's been so hot, I believe. And
yeah,
the
definitely.
Sunflowers grew about 6 feet tall,
mm-hmm.
and then they started to flower, and they flowered for about 2 days, and they drooped, and they died.
Mm-hmm. So
any idea? Pardon me?
Now that they're dying, are they drying into the hard seed that you eat, or did they die prematurely to making the seed?
Well, the seeds are rather premature. It's not really a seed in there. It looks funny. I don't know how to explain.
Okay, yeah. It died too early before the seed got too big. You're probably going to have to put it in a more shady spot next time.
Oh, okay.
Because where are you located again? The state?
South Carolina.
Yeah, you getting some 90 degree days there recently, huh?
Actually, it was 117 with the heat index. Yeah.
Yeah. So you see what I'm saying? But did you get rid of the armadillo?
Yes, I meant to tell you. Yes, that soap worked, and it got rid of the squirrels around the apple tree. And it got rid of the bluebirds on the blueberry tree.
Can you give iGrow You Grow a shout out?
Oh sure.
That iGrow You Grow guy know a little bit about what he's talking about, huh?
Oh no, that iGrow You Grow guy knows a lot about what he's talking about.
Yeah, but that's
there are lots of people listening to your videos and everything. I'm like, your biggest fan.
Thank you very much. But yeah, so I was concerned about your armadillo, but I'm glad, you know, that and, you know, a combination of whatever you was doing and, you know, you guys, you know, I hope they're not attacking your cats and different things of that nature. So I'm glad I could help you on that end. I will say for you with this heat, you need to, you know, create some shade for your plants. You know, put a sheet out. I got a new video out right now that will help you. It's a kitchen garden tour. I think it's the kitchen garden tour part two. And it's got a little device on it that you can use. It's got some eyelets where you can clamp it on certain things and you can tie some strings and make you a makeshift canopy to shade some of your plants so you don't lose your plants, because we don't want you losing plants. We want you to produce your produce.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
So it's
and
got
then
a little...
I tried something else that's growing pretty well, and that's the castor bean.
Okay.
To kill the mold. So I don't know if that's going to work or not. We'll see.
Yeah, the castor beans. I hear
but
that.
But it's highly poisonous, so people with children don't need to have it. I read.
Yeah, you definitely don't. You don't want to eat it, and you want to keep it kind of far away from your deal. But also, I remember last time I was telling you if you had grubs, gophers and such and moles, that's a sign that they're after the grubs. Because you said you wasn't planting many root vegetables, so it's some grubs and stuff under your soil. I've discovered another product that can kill grubs called Milky Spore. You could try Milky Spore, and this will, you know, kill grubs. And if the moles aren't getting a readily source of food under the ground, they'll go to a different area. And then you could also try, if you got raised beds or something and they're getting in there, you can try to grind up orange peels and put orange peels in your soil. The little orange oil gives off a substance called D-limonene, and the D-limonene kills off the grubs as well.
Okay, okay. You know, I actually did the oil with the lemon peel. I didn't do the orange. I didn't remember. And the detergent, and that worked really well because some kind of worm was eating the sunflower leaves at first, but I sprinkled that, and that stopped, so that was excellent.
Great, great, great.
Yeah.
Did you have any more questions you want to tell us?
No, that's it. I'll quit taking up so much time. Thank
you.
But
let me ask you, what kind of squash? What kind of squash you got?
Oh, I have yellow squash, and I think the zucchini squash got too hot, so I replanted the zucchini squash. I actually replanted all of them because I was thinking that, you know, they might grow until like October. I might have time.
They will. They will. You did good. You did good. I actually
the okra has
time.
Like a fungus or something on it.
Okra has a fungus. Okay. Are they close together? Are your plants close together, or are they spaced apart?
They're spaced apart. I thin them out, you know. But do you think I waited too late?
No, just thin them out like you say you have. You want to get optimal air circulation. So you want to create air circulation. If it's other plants around them that's real bushy, prune those plants down at the base, and so you can get some moisture, so you can get some air flowing around. The fungus is a sign of damp air, but also you could do this too. You could take some garlic, press some garlic up in some water. Press garlic up in water, let it steep for a day or two, and take the garlic water out there and water the fungus area, and that garlic will eat that fungus up.
Oh, cool. Okay. Oh, and I forgot. I got the small watermelons that you talked about.
I got some
of those too.
Sugar-based watermelon.
Yeah.
Yeah. I grow, you grow.
I grow, you grow. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye bye.
Oh, wow. That is amazing. That's great. That was Nancy Lockhart. Always good to have her in the forum as well. She is a legal analyst as well, and also the author of her new book, what is called, and you guys know I love saying the name of this. It is called, what is it called? Locked Up, What to Do When Your Ask is Locked Up.
Whoa.
A Poor Man's Guide to Freedom. So really talking about those things to help avoid you from getting locked up, or what to do if you have a family member or yourself locked up. So you definitely want to reach out to Nancy. She also has a show that she does here on Blog Talk Radio, really helping support those brothers and sisters all over the country and the world in that case, who have been incarcerated or some injustice has been done to them, really helping to fight their cases as well and offering them advice and services. So check her out as well, too. And it looks like she's been bitten by the garden bug from the I Grow,
yeah.
You Grow, Mrs. Anderson.
Great.
So that's wonderful. That is wonderful. So now we're going to go to the next caller calling in. It looks like from area code. It looks like area code 804. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hey, how you doing? Can you hear me?
Greetings. Yes, I can. Who's on the line, please?
This is Rashad.
Good evening.
Good evening, Rashad.
I had a quick question. I'm growing inside of a house, and we noticed that sometimes the soil we purchase has like larvae, and we're wondering how would you get the larvae out without like without chemicals and stuff disturbing the soil.
Okay, when you buy the soil, if you having problems with that, maybe the brand that you getting is not a good brand, or they're not a reputable company, or the way they storing it could be a number of things. But what you can do with that is if you you take the soil and you bake the soil before you plant anything in it, about 300 degrees for about an hour or two, if you can stand it, you bake that soil, and it'll kill anything that's in it. And then you can go ahead and use it in your house plants or in your house without having to worry about, like, spider mites, larvae, and different things. But if you can go for a higher quality potting soil, organic style, something like that, they usually tend to be a reputable soil. But to take precaution, you can bake the soil, and that'll drive out any larvae or, you know, kill anything that's in it before you put your plants in there.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you for calling.
Or have you tried maybe doing some composting?
No.
Composting would be a great way for you. Do you have, like, big plant, big pots, or what type of growing medium that are you dealing with, if you don't mind me asking?
We have, like, medium and small and large. We just different sizes.
You trying to grow vegetables, or you just trying to grow houseplants?
A little bit of both.
Okay. So for your veggies, like, you want to stick to, like, the basils, the lettuces, the kales, the different things like that indoors that, you know, if you don't have great light. Do you have, like, a south-facing window that you're dealing with? What kind of light source you got coming?
We only have one real light source. It's a like a skylight.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good source of light, though. That's a good source of light. If you could supplement that light with maybe a fluorescent lamp or something like that, that would be even better. But that skylight is a good thing to have. If you got a skylight, you should be good because it's getting nice amounts of sun. But, yeah, try that with the soil, or go out and buy some high-quality soil. Or if you want to take a stab at composting, you could, you know, go to my YouTube and check out I got some composting you can do in a bucket in the house, and I got the compost that you do outside in, like, a trash can. Or you could buy compost from the store, which is, it won't have larvae and negative stuff in it, but it will have living organisms because it is decomposed earth and things of that nature. So you don't want to bake it, but you want to get, like, a mushroom compost. You don't want to get a manure compost if you're going to be using it indoors, because that manure compost will stink up your, you know, your living quarters, and you don't want that. But you could use mushroom compost. Somebody said something in the chat about George Washington Carver. It caught my attention. But, yeah, brother, I hope that helps you.
To what?
I hope that helped you out a little bit, but you also can email me questions or anything like that, and I'll help you out along the way.
Okay, thank you. Oh, I did have one more question, and now I'm going to get off the line. You said about lights. What about, like, people I know use LED lights to grow stuff. Is that fine for growing? Is that useful? Is that fine? Or is
LED lights are fairly new as a growing light. A lot of people have reported success with LED lights, but I used fluorescent lights this year. My LED lights weren't. They kept falling off. I didn't have a good way to hang them up in my grow tower, so I used fluorescent lights, and it helped me with my seed starting and my transplants and stuff like that. But I have done some research, and people are saying that they're getting success using LED lights. So I would say if you have LED lights, try them and, you know, document it and see if it's helping, you know. But the only true blue experience I have is using fluorescent lighting, and that works for me. But I am going to try to use some LED lights in the future because, like I said, others have reported success with LED lights, but I can't stand on a solid platform and tell you, yeah, go ahead, they'll do this and they'll do that, because I haven't done it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling in. Peace and blessings. All right. Great information. Great questions as well. As we continue here live in the remix, we're going to go to the next caller. Calling in, it looks like, from area code 323. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from. Please turn your computer speakers down for me.
Hello, Miss Blue. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Who's calling, please?
This is Transformed Man.
Greetings.
Yes. I actually, my question was answered, and he was talking about composting. I just was going to ask him to stand us and to talk a little bit more about composting, if you like, especially for those people who have small gardens in their homes and how they can get started and stuff like that. So I think he pretty much answered it. So.
But I will talk about composting again, brother, because I could talk about composting all day. But
no.
I tell you, I just put up a video about vermicomposting. Are you familiar with vermicomposting?
Absolutely.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that is a very clean and effective way of creating some compost within about 30 days or so. In a bucket.
Mm-hmm.
I've done it in a bucket. And a lot of people have to go out and buy these red wigglers online, $100 a pound or 1,000 worms for X amount of dollars and all this. You can go straight to Walmart in the fishing section, get the trout worm. Don't get the night crawler. Get the trout worm. I think it's $3 for one container. You get two containers for $6. Get a bucket. A small bucket for $3 or $4 with a lid, drill holes in the bottom, drill holes around the top, and put the lid on it, get you some newspaper, some crepe paper, shred it up, put your kitchen scraps down in that, and dump them two things of worms in there. Spray bottle, moisten it up with a spray bottle. Also,
right.
You want to make sure you put some coffee grinds or some ground up eggshells in there because the worms use that grit to actually force the stuff in and out of their system. They need that grit to do that because they don't have the teeth, so they use that as a grit. And what they'll do is they'll turn that kitchen scrap and those shredded up paper, which is their bedding, into worm casting. And that worm casting is like some of the richest stuff you can do. And then you can take that and use that to make teas for your plant and all this different kind of stuff. So that's one option. You got to go to the YouTube channel, I Grow, You Grow, and look at that vermicomposting. That's a very simple way to turn that kitchen scrap into worm casting or compost, and then the traditional compost. If you do traditional compost, make sure you have a mixture of one green, whatever container full of green that you got, and when I say green, I mean hair, green kitchen scraps, coffee, different things like that, and then three browns, which is paper, newspaper, dry leaves, brown leaves, stuff like that. 3-1, and that's going to create your balance for decomposition.
Hmm.
And you want to turn that, put air in that.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
All right.
Let me ask Ms. Blue, mm-hmm. I have time to ask him a little few questions.
Yes.
Okay,
you sure
do. What are you growing? How's it growing, brother? What are you growing?
Well, I have a full garden right now, and it's excellent. We have zucchini squash, we have carrots, onions, corn, peppers, let's see, tomatoes, cucumbers, broccoli, which was just recently eaten by the deer, and a couple of other things that are not coming to my head right now. But the thing is that I didn't use any composting for the soil because the soil that we have in our yard is quite rich. when there's a small section of the garden that is lacking some nutrients. So the garden in that area is struggling, but it's still doing okay. But I realize that we do need to do some composting in the future. And so I've been looking and researching on composting, but I just thought it would be very interesting to hear your take on composting and what you suggest. And for other people who also don't know about composting, for it to be something that is another avenue for them to also look into in terms of growing their own gardens indoors or outdoors. But
yeah.
Our garden is pretty good. This year, in spite of a lot of the rain and stuff, it's looking beautiful.
What area are you? Yeah. What zone are you in?
I'm in North Dakota.
North Dakota. Wow, that's great. That's great. Yeah, you sound like you got a handle on it. If you need some tips and tricks on getting them deers out of the way, I got a few things for you on the tip and trick with the deers.
Oh yeah.
If you're familiar with a blood meal, it stinks, but you're familiar with blood meal, you can use like a bulba or a garlic bulba or your trowel and take a plastic bottle or something, cut the top off of it, and put blood meal inside halfway and dig the hole so that you can fit the container that you put the blood meal in at soil level. And what it's going to do is keep that blood meal in that container, and when the water get in it, it'll just be half water, half blood meal, but it's going to give off a stink, a real bad stink, and when they come sniffing around, they don't like that smell, and they get away from that smell. You can do that. And I've seen people also, you know, I don't know, I never used this, but they say you can take ammonia, but you're not going to let the ammonia get in your garden. You're just going to take the bottle of ammonia, pour some of it out, and poke holes in the top of it and let the ammonia fumes come out. The deer don't like the ammonia fumes. I've only used the blood meal, and I don't have problems with deers, and I'm here in Georgia, and they walk back behind me every day. And just put some logs or just little stuff that they got to step over to get to where you are. They don't like stepping over anything. If you can put logs or barbecue pits or anything kind of in the way, they don't like stepping over stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
But you sound like you're doing a good job growing. I'd love to keep in touch with you and just talk about what you grow, because if you grow, I grow. I grow, you grow, you know. No one gardener is wiser than the next gardener. I'm sure some things that information I can get from you and glean from you growing in North Dakota. I'm sure you have a lot of different circumstances you have to overcome.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So
I would definitely shoot you an email then.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, beautiful. You're welcome. Thank you so much for calling in. Good to know that's what's going on. Good to know what's going on. Yes, so much going on when it comes to growing, and all over the world, so many people are definitely taking their hands at that. I know a lot of people are talking about deers. This is actually the season or the time of years that actually some of the deers actually begin to grow their antlers this time of the year. So, interesting time. We're going to keep taking questions because we have that. I want to give a big shout out to my brother, Dr. Yu, is in the house tonight. Maybe he'll call in. He deals with all of those things of holistic healing himself, too, and all of this about plants and everything. Another amazing brother. You guys may know that at the beginning of my show, that little jingle I play was done by Dr. Yu himself. So Dr. Yu and Dr. Sade, always a big shout out to them, and much love to them as well, too. We're going to go to the next.
Greetings, Dr. Yu
is in the building. We're going to go to the next caller. Calling in, it looks like, from area code 201. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Kiff. I'm calling because I had a couple of questions. one question.
Okay, who's, hold on one second. About. Who's on the line, please?
Tiff? Can you hear
me? Sorry.
We couldn't hear you. I apologize. Say it one more time. You're kind of breaking up.
Oh, I apologize. I said, this is Tiffany.
Okay, greetings, Tiffany.
Hi. I had a couple of questions. One was about collard greens. Is it really feasible to grow collard greens indoors? I don't know.
Well, if you have a south-facing window, do you have a south-facing window or a window that's getting, like, real sunlight?
Yeah, actually, I do.
Okay.
It's a railroad-style apartment, but my living room window gets a lot of sunlight, yeah.
Yeah, so you can put collard greens in there, but they won't get as big as a collard green that's outside, and you may be able to get leaves the size that you could use for a salad more than you could, like, cooking a pot of greens.
Okay.
If you wanted to have that kind of volume to do a pot of cooked greens, you're really going to have to do it outside. Or if you get one of them little hydroponic machines, you probably could grow collard greens in one of those type of things that's got the light and the hydroponic, and you can feed it like that, you may get bigger success. But I would say go ahead and try you some collard greens in a pot indoors. If you're giving it enough light, if you're communicating with it right, it may decide to do what you want it to do for you. But characteristically, you know, collard greens, you know, grow better outdoors than indoors, but they will grow indoors. But to get a pot of greens, you need to do a lot of stuff to them indoors, you know. Do a lot of stuff to them indoors to make them grow really, really big. Like feed them fishy motion every time you water them. Stake them up. Give them supplemental light. Put a fan in there for good air circulation. Things of that nature.
Okay. Okay. And
what was the second question?
Was about seeds. I was interested in, because I know there's some controversy about seeds.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are, you know, not pure seeds. So I was interested, you know, in finding out about that and wondering if you have a source where you get seeds, you know.
Okay.
Where, I'm in Jersey, so.
Okay. So are you going to be exclusively growing indoors, or are you going to try to venture outdoors on a patio or something?
Yeah, I have a fire escape, but it's kind of like a balcony. So I have a plant out there already. So I could definitely put plants there.
Now you could do collard greens outdoors on a balcony, definitely. And with you being in New Jersey, you definitely want to do collard greens because they will stand up to some cold weather. So right about the time that it's starting to get cold in Jersey, your plant will be big enough to sustain a cold night. And on those cold nights, collard greens have characteristic of retaining their sugar to hold their heat and withstand the cold night. So if you pick your collard greens the morning after a cold night, or, you know, in the autumn, you guys probably, what, end of October start really getting really cold around Jersey?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, by that time your plant will be, you have leaves about the size of your hand, and you can start, you know, do maybe three per pot, get you two pots, and you'll have, you know, a nice bag of collard greens, and they'll withstand some of the cold, and then you can even drape maybe some plastic over them or something when it gets really deep into the winter, and you'll still be able to have some collard greens. But as far as seeds go, the seeds that you want to buy, you want to always go for heirloom seeds. And if you do buy hybrid seeds, you want to get a hybrid that's an F1. And an F1 on a hybrid just means, and a lot of people think hybrids are bad, but an F1 hybrid is not a bad thing. What an F1 hybrid is like saying that a a Ethiopian man and a Libyan woman or a Somalian woman breeded together, and they made a child, and that first child is the first generation of those two, of that male and that female cohabitating and creating a child. So as it relates to plants, so you had a Somalian woman and an Ethiopian man. The Ethiopian man had certain characteristics that made him very special. The Somalian woman had certain characteristics that made her very special, and they produced a child that had both of those traits. And they, you know, not necessarily a super child, but they could, you know, both tolerate heat because they both was in a hot climate. They both could draw in more energy from the sun because they got dark skin, melanin, so forth and so on. So the same thing with a plant. If you take this type of okra plant and that type of okra plant and grow them together and let them cross-pollinate, that first fruit that they get, if you take that seed, that's the F1 hybrid. That's the first generation of that mixture. But the second generation, you don't know what you're going to get. So you only want to deal with F1 hybrids if you do hybrids. GMO, they don't make a GMO seed that I know of. So if you stick with heirloom and F1 hybrid, you'll be fine. Only affiliate I have with a seed company right now is my tomatoes. I grow all my tomatoes from a seed company called Tomato Fest. And if you go to the iGrowYouGrow.biz marketplace, it's a link there for tomatoes. But the tomato, you have to do that next spring because the tomato time is gone. But that's the only seed affiliate that I'm affiliated with right now. But another seed company is seedofchange.com and Johnny Seeds. It's quite a few. Just Google heirloom seeds and you'll be able to get some good seeds. Heirloom or F1 hybrid.
Okay. And then I just wanted to ask if you have kind of like a tip or deterrent for small domestic animals.
Small domestic animals. Coming on your patio or coming anywhere? Where are they coming at?
Well, sometimes my cat does go outside, but even if I were to do an indoor garden, I wanted
okay.
to keep my cat.
You want to keep your cat away from yourself?
Yeah.
I would say for the cat, you could take and put... if it's in a pot or on the balcony or something of that nature, you could take some hot peppers, grind up, you know, put some hot peppers in a blender, wear a mask or some gloves and blend up some hot pepper and some garlic and pour water in the blender and then strain that mixture and get all the liquid out into a squirt bottle, fill it up with some water, a drop of dish soap, and spray around the pot and the base of the plant where the cat comes, and once he smells that hot and that garlic and stuff, he's going to get away from that.
Okay. Okay, cool. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
This is definitely the time to get your questions answered. We still have about 50 minutes left to go in the form. 646-652-2711 is the number to call for questions for Mr. Anderson. And I guess this is a good time while we're calling in, while we're taking calls also, to go back and sort of kind of talk about water and sort of mm-hmm. how water relates to and some of the things that we can do to really kind of really get water in the best place to really utilize that for our plants as well.
Okay, so... you wanted to speak on about the blessing of the water and charging the water spiritually, right?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
So, or you want me to talk about my water secrets first?
I want you to talk about your water secrets first, because I think that is definitely at the I think it's something we all need to be doing, and I just love it. So, yes,
okay,
let's talk about that.
My water secrets are... I use the vermicomposting that I spoke about and the compost that I spoke about, and I make a compost tea. And what I do with the water, I take municipal water, and I have a fish pump. You can get a fish pump from, like, Walmart or PetSmart or somewhere like that. And it has a hose, and you take the bucket, you drill in the side, you run the hose into the water, and it has, like, the little stone, the bubble stone or the rock stone hooked to the hose, and it shoots the air in that. And it makes these bubbles, and the bubbles in the water, this is before I add anything to the water. This is taking municipal water and aerating this municipal water. And when you aerate this municipal water for about 24 hours, anywhere 12 to 24 hours, it's going to aerate all of the chlorine, fluorides, and municipals out of that water. So you're going to have some aerated water, which is some live water. I haven't tested the pH of this water or nothing. I'm just aerating this water to get the municipals out. I also collect rainwater from the roof, and if I have rainwater at the time, I use rainwater and skip the aeration of the water step. And then what I do after that is I take the compost or the worm casting, and I have these cotton gloves, or you can use pantyhoses, or you can use a burlap sack or whatever you got, that the bag needs to be big enough not to fill up a 5-gallon bucket, because I'm using a 5-gallon bucket. And you can see this on the video on the YouTube, but you tie a string, you put the compost in the cotton bag or the burlap bag or whatever, you tie it up with a string, you run the string through the top of the bucket, the lid of the bucket, and you let that compost hang in that 5-gallon bucket of aerated water, like a tea bag. But you also got some tubes running in there that you're shooting air into the water with. Then you take your tablespoon of molasses, if you want to say molasses, or you could do fish emulsion. The fish emulsion give off a little stinky smell, so you can avoid that and use molasses. And you want to use blackstrap molasses, like the unsulfurated molasses. And that's going to feed the microorganisms that's going to be brewing in this compost tea. So I put the lid on that, and I got the tea bag or the compost tea bag hanging in the 5-gallon bucket of aerated water, and I let that run for 2 to 3 days, and it's just bubbling away. And that molasses is feeding the microorganisms, and if you took a microscope and looked at that water under a microscope, you would see all this life and activity going on in this water. And that's your compost tea. And you take that compost tea and you can water your plants directly into the soil and let all that nutrients get in the soil and the plants suck up all that. Or you can put it in a spray or a sprayer and foliage feed your plants. So spray the leaves of your plants in the morning or in the evening. Don't do it in the heat of the day because it'll magnify the heat and burn the leaves. But you want to do that in the morning or in the evening, and that's compost tea. And you can do the exact same thing with that worm casting that we talked about making, which is on the YouTube as well. So that's my secret, my water secret right there is that compost tea. But you also can take municipal water and you can add Epsom salt to it, and you can water in Epsom salt. Epsom salt always gives plants body. Gives them magnesium, gives them sulfur, does wonders for the plant. Also for the gardener, after a long day of gardening, take your Epsom salt bath, and, you know, it'll pull out toxins out your body, it'll relax you, it'll do a lot of things for you. So it's not only good for the garden, but it's good for the gardener. That's a water secret.
Yes.
What else? That's about the extent of my water secrets right there.
Well, those are some powerful secrets indeed, definitely, with the compost coffee. And we were talking about this actually before the show, me and Mr. Anderson, about water and really just about a lot of the studies that should be done with water. Some of the things that we sort of covered, and it works the same way like Mr. Anderson was saying with plants, same with water. Anytime you're getting ready to work with anything, whether it be yourself or whether it be your plants or anything like that, and you're dealing with water, this is definitely something that you really should take and give some energy and really began to charge this charge water up. And it's a lot of ways that you can do it. If you don't have or have not been exposed to or read sort of The Secret Life of Water by Dr. Emoto, it's an excellent read that talks about the science of water and how water really carries that vibration of energy. So anytime you're watering your plants in particular, especially when you're trying to grow those things, I do it with the water before I bathe in water and actually before I drink water too, is I actually send positive vibrations and intentions into my water before I actually drink it, before I water my grass, my trees, my plants, or mix with anything. So you do want to begin to charge your water with positive affirmations. And also charge your water as well with your intentions. There's a study that you can actually find this on YouTube. A couple of years ago, me and my daughter did it as a science project where water was taken and put in with rice and the jars were sat next to each other. And you could actually tape on one jar to speak words of kindness and love and tape on the other jar to speak words of hate. And to see the effects that the fluid had really in holding, because rice holds a lot of the water, almost like our cells does inside of our body. And so the jar that really spoke those words of love and those words of kindness, when you opened it up, the rice was almost as if it was cooked that same day. There was no spoiling. There was no foul odor, nothing. But for the other rice that was there in the container where words of hate were spoken to it, once you opened it up, you could actually see the mold, the mildew on it. It had a really, really sour smell to it, and the rice had spoiled. So think about these things when you're charging your water before you drink any kind of fluid. These things are definitely important. I do it before I get in any water to bathe my body or any water that I put in my mouth or water that I actually give to my plants. So you want to take some time, maybe about 5 or so minutes before, get the water that you have together and really begin to charge that particular water and really, really begin to, before you feed it to your plant, you're going to see a difference. So when you mix those things that Mr. Anderson is talking about along with this well too, you'll see some significant things. And again, if you guys want to know more about that, there's Dr. Emoto, and it's called The Secret Life of Water. You could probably Google it on YouTube or just Google it online, but the first name is A-S-A-R-U, and the last name is Emoto, E-M-O-T-O, Dr. Emoto. So excellent read there, and definitely some powerful science as it relates to you, not only you as a human in water, but also all things that we do with our water, because we do, each one of our cells is like a universe inside of our body. And so water impacts that on a very, very high level, not to mention almost 90% of the water that we drink actually goes to your brain. Which reminds me, there's going to be a brother that comes on, and he's going to drop some science on some water. Seriously, he's going to be coming up. He's a recommendation of Brother Bobby Hemmett, and he's going to be dropping some serious, serious science. So wanted to share that with water. 646-652-2711 is the number to call. We are still have the phone lines open, so if you have questions for Mr. Anderson, those questions about your green magic that you're growing in your garden, this is definitely what you want to do. So call in. We want to hear from you. Yes, yes, yes.
Well, I remember the last show you had with Bobby Hemmett. You played that Roy Ayers.
Yes.
I've been stuck on Roy Ayers ever since that show.
Yes. That's some powerful science right there. Love Roy Ayers.
Man.
And
Secret of Numbers, Secret of Sound. Yeah, that was, damn, man. I had never heard that song in my life.
Yes.
I heard Everybody Loves the Sunshine, but I hadn't heard that Third Eye, man. Boy, I've been playing that thing so much.
Yes, and play music for your plants too. They love music. They love it.
Okay.
I see my plants kind of dancing a little bit when I put on some music. They dance.
Definitely. I will incorporate that.
Yes, yes. Well, we're going to go to the phone lines now because we still do have more people on the phone lines as well calling in. It looks like calling in area code 347. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, certainly can. Yes, who's on the line, please?
Wonderful. Greetings, Miss Blue and Mr. Anderson.
Greetings.
Okay, great. I mean, this is some of the deepest science. I'm just totally inspired by it.
Yes. Who's on the line, please? Who are we speaking with?
Oh, it's Teresa.
Okay, go ahead. Okay, we just wanted to know who was on the line. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, great. Look, these elements, let me get to the first question, which is, if you're hungry, what's the fastest plant? What's the plant that will grow the fastest?
The plant that will grow the fastest, that will give you food the fastest, is sprouts. You could do sprouts. And what sprouts are, you know what sprouts, like bean sprouts or different sprouts.
Okay.
You could take a pack of seeds, maybe Swiss chard, or you could take a pack of kale or a pack of, sprout beans and pour the whole pack in some dirt and water it down every day. In about 7 or 8 days, you'll have all these little young tender sprouts coming up, and you can cut them down and eat them on a piece of bread or just eat them like that. That's the quickest way it's going to be sprouts, which is actually just a young sprout of the seed. And you can do that with peas. If you get English peas, I would suggest that when you plant them, throw in some coffee grinds with them as well, because they like to fix nitrogen right before they sprout, and then coffee grinds will give them nitrogen. But when you do a whole pack of them seeds, maybe for $1, I say in about 7 to 10 days, you keep them moist, you're going to have pea shoots, which is the little pea sprout come up, and you just cut them down with scissors and eat them. And that's 10 days, like
what?
10 to 14 days. But it's just a sprout, and once you cut them, you're done. You got to get another pack of peas. But that's
you said super
quick. Yeah, that's super quick right there.
Mm-hmm.
10 days with light
and
water. But now a manifested vegetable, where you just a traditional vegetable, probably the quickest one would be a radish. A radish will come to, you know, where you get an actual radish ball at the bottom and pull it out the dirt and ready to eat it. It'll manifest itself in 20 to 25 days. Radish.
What? Radish. Okay. That's what
radish. Yeah. And there's several different varieties of radish.
Wonderful. Now, the next question I wanted to ask was about this eggplant. I lived in Italy for about a year, and lots of eggplant going on there. And, in fact, in Italy, like in the countryside, people just grow stuff just, like, by the highway, just in any little grass spot. And I was really inspired by that. And I got into eggplant. It's like me and eggplant just like hit it off, like bam. And I was, you were talking, Miss Blue, about certain elements of eggplant, and I was wondering, there was something going on with me and eggplant. Something I don't know about eggplant. Is any more information about what's going on with the mysticism of eggplant?
Well, I'll tell you this. The eggplant, as you notice, it carries that very, very rich violet color. It really covers that rich violet color, which has a lot to do with sort of the energy around the third eye. And so eggplants are often very much used to help enhance sort of those different properties that is connected with that particular area of the brain. And so the eggplant can be used to really help to enhance when you're trying to get into any of those type of energetic works, to begin to work with the eggplant in that way. So color plays a very fantastic role, and you guys know how I love color. And I see color everywhere. Color is everywhere. I see it all the time. Sometimes it makes it a little difficult to look out of my normal eyes. But really, you can begin to use these colors this way to enhance different things. So very good question. And it has a lot to do with the energy dealing with all of those in the upper chakras. So that very deep, deep, deep violet color really helps to tap into that energy. And it has a special place for me. The first time I ever experienced eggplant, my grandfather cooked it for me. And he went through this really, really, he was so dynamic. And he went through this big presentation about explaining to us everything about the eggplant and the color. Mm. Of it, and just how long when you watch the eggplant and you get a chance to study sort of how it grows and how it changes colors. It gradually goes from sort of that colorless into a very, very rich and deep color, really just showing it's at its level of maturity. And so just a lot of power there, a lot of power there. And
wow, I did not know that, but I'm on the remix. There you go. Now, one more quick
also for the eggplant, the nutritional value of the eggplant is high in fiber, is high in vitamin B and 6, potassium, it's a good source of copper and magnesium, phosphorus, niacin, and folic acid.
Well, no wonder with that combination, that's amazing.
Yes, It supports all of those things, especially those things, like I said, the upper chakras, definitely, and especially those things in the brain, the pituitary gland, pineal gland, the third eye, all of those things located in that particular area. So, yeah, eggplant. Wow. Eggplant is the way to go. Yes.
14 grams of magnesium. What's the next question?
Yeah, more of an esoteric question about these elements of phosphorus, potassium, magnesium, nitro oxide. I mean, if we take away the actual word and go back before these words were created, these elements as entities, these plants as entities, I'm just feeling something here. There's something more to these things than we call them plants, and, you know, but I'm feeling there's something more to this combination of energies and elements, and I just wanted to get some
some sort of
feedback on that.
Yes, of course, and I'll share this, and I'll let Mr. Anderson share, but of course, we know all things are connected. It's a lot of mythology when you begin. When I'm doing sort of the readings I do, the God, Goddess, Akashic Record reading, I actually tell you those plants that are connected with you on a blueprint level. A lot of plants have a lot of mythology that is connected with them. Not mythologies as being myths. These are actually true stories. And when we begin to look at the elemental chart itself, those are the things that you're made of. I'm made up in everything on this planet that came into life. So we've given them really, really fancy names for these, but that is no more than your authentic DNA really just really manifesting itself in many different ways. So all of the elements, we're made up of those elements ourselves. Those elements are also coming together. There is actually a game that you can play if you have an Android phone, and I'm sure they have it on BlackBerry and as well as iPhone, where you can actually, and I don't think know the name of it, where you can take these different elements and they give them to you, and you can mix them together and come up with different creations. And I remember the first time I was playing this game and putting certain elements together, and it said human, how you make a human. And then when you mix some other elements together, it comes up and it says man. So there is a difference between a human, meaning a man or human, that have pigmentation colors, and then the man. There are some different properties. So all of these elements coming together, you can look at it this way as the gods rising, and you can see that when you begin to mix these different elemental things together, whether they're in plants, whether we're looking at them in ourselves and also in nature and animals, these combinations make us who we are in the physical sense, which is matter, you know, taking us back to that mass, which just comes from those elemental things. So, yes, they're all things are connected to each other. It's been a lot of studies, a lot of science on it, too. You can probably Google it and find all that information as well.
Or better yet, I have, the energy is just flowing for this whole movement. And like you say, with the plant, and I think man is making his reconnection or is getting his teacher, because the Most High will use something in nature to teach a man a lesson. I mean, you learn everything. The helicopter gets its influence from certain insects. We saw the birds fly. We wanted to fly. We see, you know, how creatures behave. We see how plants grow. We see how they protect themselves, how they use thorns, and we get spears and use swords. So I'm saying all that to say this is that plants are just like humans. They evolve. They perpetuate themselves, and we can learn from these plants.
Yes.
So all these chemicals and elements and stuff that they contain, we eat them and get that from them so that we can get our balance back, because we eating all these processed foods and doing all these different things to throw our balance off. But once we get our correct balance for our particular characteristics with these 13 elements, then we'll be able to connect and have the energy, because just like the planet 70-some% water, we 70-some% water. Just like they're affected by the sun, the planets are affected by the sun. They're affected by the moon, we're affected by the moon. But I want to say this right quick. My podcast in iTunes and on Stitcher.com, I have hooked up with a botanist. I have a gentleman in Texas.
Beautiful.
And we're going to be discussing hybridization, heirloom, GMOs, the origins of plants, how they take in the chemicals, how they use the chemicals, how they reproduce themselves. The man told me that the plants, if you look under the microscope, you will see them. They have a sperm that's coming in, and just like our sperm do the woman's womb on the microscope, the plants have the same situation going on. We're going to be breaking all that down on my podcast.
It's amazing, like you said, and even going back to our ancient Kemetic ancestors, this is where they got the word natir from nature. It is sort of that reflection. So we are the reflection of nature. Nature does teach us so many things. I learned that when I first got my grass, and when I first got St. Augustine grass. It's a very, very dominant grass. It's a tropical grass. And I also learned that one of the things with St. Augustine, and anyone who has St. Augustine grass can attest to this, when your grass is healthy and it is grown, you don't have to use any type of any kind of weed killer to get anything out of there, which weed is just a word that we use. That just means anything foreign to what you want in that particular area, because what we call weeds are not actually weeds. In that particular sense. But what St. Augustine grass will do, it literally will wrap its rope. It's a running grass. It will wrap its roots around anything that does not belong there and literally choke the life out of it. Choke the life out of it. You don't have to worry about it. So my neighbor next door has Bermuda grass. And anytime some Bermuda grass sort of kind of peeks its head up, you could see the St. Augustine grass. It will start to curl around it like a snake, and it will choke it to death and kill it. So you will be able to see these things in nature that really just shows you. So sometimes that reflection, even though it comes across very loving in nature, nature has some of the most beautiful things in the world, it also shows you about keeping the balance. And so that's the one thing that I learned from nature, is that nature will set its own course for balance. And that is how it will balance out the energy. If something does not belong, It will kill it. It'll kill it. It'll get it out of there.
But weeds are a threat, though, right?
Not necessarily. Weeds are just a human term, and Mr. Anderson can speak more on this, that we have just given to certain things. Certain things that we consider to not be there. What we're actually calling weeds in some of our areas that are actually grasslands and marshlands where our plants and our animals are growing, we have really destroyed the ecosystem on the planet by man saying that we want to take this particular land or we want to take this particular area and we want to get rid of the grassland. So we, by killing off of these things or saying only certain kind of grass, even saying that only St. Augustine grass can be here is really, in a sense, really killing some things that are really native to this particular land. That's why we have certain land that has been protected throughout the country and throughout the world, because we need these things to help bring the balance on the planet. Because some of these grass, some of these weeds, and some of these plants are very aggressive. And when you put them next to something, it will dominate. And we have seen that as people play that out as well, too.
Well, God, I could go on forever, but thank you so much. And Mr. Anderson, I will be contacting you when I get my new place in a few weeks here in Atlanta. And thank you so much, Miss Blue.
You're welcome.
You emailed me a few times?
We've been
corresponding via email. You got you also got like a youth talent show or a youth program or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you got the jazz CD too, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, just multi-talent.
Hey, I'm just waiting on this remix CD to come out, Miss Blue, so I can get my track on it.
Oh, you know.
She can sing, Miss Blue.
Well, I tell you what, I don't want to put you on the spot, but hey, I think that this is definitely a divine moment, and I love music.
Yeah.
And so does everybody.
Give us some.
I've just been waiting on your word, Miss Blue, to say you're going to put together that remix CD. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We got some frequencies to contribute. Absolutely. I'm sure the remix family does, too.
Yes. Well, we would love to hear you serenade us. Yes.
What's the secret love of plants? Secret love of plants. We love you.
Aww, beautiful.
Yeah, tell them where they can get that CD.
Yes, let us know where we can find this. And about the babies, too. I was just talking to Sister Munya, the sister who works with me in the sessions. And a long time ago, when I first started the remix, I would do like special shows that were dedicated to our children. And I know, Mr. Anderson, that's a big part of your passion as well, too, teaching our young and our babies, as well as myself, too. And I'm thinking about bringing back Talent Night for the youth and letting them come on to share their talent. Baby Blue loves to sing. And so it would be nice for us to get our children together and our babies. I tell you guys, it's the most fun you will ever have in your life.
Mm-hmm. Those frequencies are the most precious frequencies that we have.
Yes,
and
they come from
definitely.
Power.
Mm-hmm. Expose them and give them a platform as much as possible. Absolutely.
Yes. And how can we reach you and find out about your music? We would love to hear more.
Oh, Lord. See, Mr. Anderson, you just opened it all up.
Yeah, I gotta put some fertilizer on you and make you grow now.
Well, yeah, I've been making records for a while. You can go to my website, jahlisa.com, Jahlisa. And I've got a 100-song sampler on there from ambient music, soul music, experimental music, jazz music. And we just love harmonic design.
Yeah, that's nice.
So check it out. And on your word, I'll be the first to contribute a couple of tracks for your remix CD, okay?
Well, I don't know about the remix CD, but I think it would be delightful to have you come back. And when you get your CD, or if you have your CD, come on, share it with us again, especially when we're doing a chat and chill. We love to have people come and sing and share their talents and share their vibration here. So peace and love to you, and thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you. Thank you. Peace and love to both of you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Yeah. How amazing was that? Beautiful, beautiful. We still have more callers here. Everyone definitely getting in with Mr. Anderson. I grow, you grow. Biz, if you guys have not gone over there and signed up for some of that, I want you to do it. Before we close out tonight, we will be talking about 40 days and 40 nights. Mr. Anderson will be telling you about that. I am going to go ahead and go to the phone lines and get the other two callers that are on the line as well, too. So going to the caller, calling in, it looks like, from area code 253. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hello?
Yes, greetings.
Oh, me again. Please, quick one. I wanted an all-purpose pesticide. That the reason I'm asking for this was, you know, I was having a discussion with someone about the fertilizers I use. So I wanted an all-purpose pesticide that could spray to kill the white flies and mealybugs.
Okay, okay.
Something I could use in a spray bottle.
Yeah, you could use two different ways. I mean, it depends. Like, I would mix up two of these different ones and try them both and see which one works the best. Because to really say all-purpose, because sometimes you got to kill caterpillar soft body and sometimes you got to do hard body. So I would recommend two different potions. The first one, take a quarter cup of vegetable oil, and then take you a whole bulb of garlic, skin it, crush it down, and put it in that quarter cup of vegetable oil with a lid on it, and put that in the refrigerator for about 5-6 days, or, you know, if you got to hurry up and do it, at least do it for 24 hours, 48 hours. Let the garlic, crushed garlic bulb steep in that oil. And what you got there is garlic oil. And then you take your 32-ounce spray bottle, put your water in your 32-ounce spray bottle, take a teaspoon of that oil, and don't put any garlic in it, just the oil. And put that in the spray bottle that you just filled up with water, and three drops of dish soap, just in a 32-ounce spray bottle. Put the cap on it, shake it up real good, and spray them white flies, and then spray the hard bug flies. You got to do this for about 3 or 4 days consecutively, either in the morning or the evening, and that should cause these bugs to flee. You'll see it lessening and lessening every day that you do it consistently in the evening or in the morning. Do the undersides of the leaves and the top of the leaves. But first, spray it on one leaf first to see how the plant is going to react to it. And if the plant don't react to it in a negative way, then you douse the whole plant down. So the first day you just do one leaf, come back and see how it's working. That's the garlic.
Okay.
That's the garlic oil spray. Then another one, if you're having caterpillars or different hard bugs and stuff like that, take orange peels. Excuse me. And steep those in hot water. Boil those in hot water. Because what you want to do is release the oil out of the orange peel, which is D-limonene. You want to release that out of the orange peel into the water. And then steep that off, let the water cool down, pour it in the spray bottle, fill it up with the rest with water, three drops of dish soap, spray that on the plant, test that out. And those two things, the combination of those two things, the orange will get rid of worms and some hard body insects and flies, and that garlic will get rid of the white fly and the fungo and different things, aphids and flea beetles and stuff like that.
Okay, good. And how much Epsom salt per gallon of water?
I go 1 tablespoon per gallon. 1 tablespoon per gallon.
All right, that's it. Thanks a lot.
No problem. All right, peace to you. All right, we're going to continue on. Calling in, it looks like, from area code 281. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from. 281.
Greetings.
Who's on the line, please? Two eight one looks like they're
that's
calling.
One of them. That's one of them dandelions people sending us.
The dandelions. Well, we'll wait for them to call back in, 281. I'm not sure what happened, but we'll continue. Mr. Anderson, talk to us about 40 days and 40 nights that you'll have calling coming up. Mm-hmm.
Okay, the 40 days and 40 nights is a certificate / challenge for Mr. Anderson. And what I'm doing is for 40 days, starting July 17th until August 26th, I am only going to eat what I grow. So I have got my garden to a sustainable production to where I'm going to eat only out of my garden for 40 days and 40 nights. The only exception to this is that I will have grains and nuts in my diet. So no meat, no store-bought, no fast food, no restaurants, no nothing, no vegetables from an outside source unless I grew it. So I'm going to be eating what I grow for 40 days and 40 nights. And this is a challenge to myself to know that I am producing my produce at a level that I can sustain myself for 40 days and 40 nights. And also to show people that you can produce your produce at a high level in a suburban setting. And any other people that may be a naysayer on what makes Mr. Anderson good at what Mr. Anderson does is a manifestation of you can get all the certificates you want, but can you feed yourself for 40 days off of what
right.
you grow?
That's so, it.
I will be blogging this. I will be Facebooking this. I will be YouTubing this. I will be podcasting this. I will be documenting this so that, you know, everybody can share it because my kitchen garden is your kitchen garden. So you're going to see me harvesting it and everything. And what that's going to do is going to segue into the I Grow, You Grow, Bistro Brilliant show where I'm going to be cooking all of these vegetables and I will have built up a substantial menu for what's growing in my garden by then because I got to. That's the only thing I'm going to be eating for 40 days.
Powerful. Powerful.
Yes,
everybody is, you know, Mr. Anderson, go hard. That's a hard body right there. 40 days and 40 nights, you guys. Who else want to take that challenge?
believe it. What? And then that also, if you already are an existing gardener, you can challenge yourself by, you know, saying, okay, 10 days straight I'm going to eat out of my garden, you know, or 7 days or whatever. And this way you will start to incorporate what you're growing and timing of how you're growing and getting vegetables that's going to be yielding the most for you instead of just, you know, vanity garden. And after the 40 days, then it'll be time for the I Grow, You Grow, Bistro Brilliant cooking show where you'll be able to see all of the dishes that I was eating for those 40 days, excuse me. So that's what happens after the 40 days, and hopefully after the 40 days, I will be able to transition off of meat because I won't be eating meat for 40 days. They say it takes 21 days to break a habit. So my garden may turn me into a omnivore.
Yes, and that's a great thing, you know, and truth be told, you eat out of your garden all the time.
Yes,
and your family and your family as well and friends who come over. We see the pictures and see the conversations online. So you're always eating out of your garden. But I think this is a great challenge that you're giving to yourself to really kind of document this so you can have it as a place of document to show others who may want to talk about that as well, too. So I think that is amazing. I think it's great, and we cannot wait to see those pictures for the 40 days and 40 nights that you're actually going. We have 7 minutes left to go in the form, you guys, 646-652-711. We will go over a little bit. So you hear the rest of the show. If not, we will see you guys Sunday night. If not, we'll see you guys Sunday night. Sunday night joining us here live in the remix. Siba Haru, Al-K Bulan will be coming on. He'll be answering the riddle of the Blue Lotus, followed by the story of the Book of Huti, and also talking about the instructions for the initiate coming from a comedic point of view. So that's going to be real interesting. Following that week, we will have Brother Panic will be joining us live in the form that Friday, that Saturday night, followed up by we have some special guests that will be coming, and also the Reverend Goddess Charmaine will be joining us back here. So for all of you who want to stay locked into the remix, definitely that's a good way to do it. You can also download the remix app. You can mark it from your phone. It is free. Type in the remix with Miss Blue. You will see the remix. You will see the remix logo there. You can download it, stay updated on all the shows, call the Know Your Magic line, connect with me on Facebook, see when I'm doing the tweets on Twitter, even if you don't have Twitter, for the Blue Blast call and get yourself connected there. Make sure if you have not signed up for the newsletter with Mr. Anderson, and yes, download that too, but you need to definitely go over to www.igrowyougrow.biz, and you will be able to find all of those things for Mr. Anderson and what he's doing there, and also keep up with him on YouTube. He does some amazing videos, so you can watch it. You don't have to worry about being lost. If you feel like you need that extra help, Mr. Anderson also offers anybody who needs to have that hand touch. He can give it to you over the phone, talk you through it step by step, let you know what you can do based on what part of the world that you're in, and it will only cost you a little bit to do that as well. So you can do that.
If I could sell you one thing, I would say if you're serious about gardening and you got a little bit of outdoor space, a side of the house or a run of the house or any little spot, invest that $10 in some one-on-one coaching, and I'll ask you questions, and we can Google Earth. You can send me pictures, email back and forth, and we will get you growing. I mean, that's the key. Once you start growing your own vegetables, it'll open up a whole new vibration for you.
Yes.
It'll give you something nobody ever gave to you before. So, I mean, the $10 an hour, I mean, that's a small investment, and I'm going to, you'll be able to get this call recorded, and I'll send you an email link to the call, and you can use the call for future references. And in the call, what's going to happen in the consultation, we're going to use the acronym I Grow, You Grow, and what you're going to get is you're going to get identification of the best garden for you. You're going to get identification for the best garden for you. So you're going to be able to identify. You're going to grow a garden in a bag, a no-dig garden, a dig garden, what type of vegetables you're going to do. Then we're going to get you the G, which is good soil. We're going to get you some good soil. We're going to get you the best quality soil, or turn your soil into good, rich soil. Then we're going to research the plants, the time, the things that you need to get going. We're going to allow you to, you know, observe how you observe your garden, what to look out for, what type of bugs and all of that good type of stuff. And then we're going to show you the unity that's going to occur between you and these plants as they grow and as they get you into habits of watering them and tending after them and doing all these different things, then you'll start growing. You'll actually start growing after you take those steps, and you'll be promoting growth because everybody you come in contact with, you're going to want to tell them about what you're growing and how you're growing and have they ever grew this, and you're just going to be talking about growth, 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 which is nothing better than that. And after you get growing, then you'll start getting a return on your investment. You'll have a return on your investment because whatever you invested to get this started, it'll start yielding itself to you, and that growth will give you a return on your investment, not only in your health, but it'll supplement your grocery bill and things of those nature, of that
yes.
nature. And then we're
yes.
going to, we told you the water secret, so we're going to give you the water secret, and then we're going to show you how the garden waxes and wanes, how you got to be patient with things in the garden. It's going to create you to have a willingness. We're going to draw your willingness to where you'll be willing to treat your plant with a lotion or a potion in the evening or in the morning. When you get home from work, you can't wait to run out there and check on your plants and take care of your plants and do all these different things. So you'll be willing to do these things. We'll teach you about the waxing and the waning of the moon, how it affects your plants and how they grow and different things of that nature. And we'll cover all that in a one-hour session. That's kind of the format, the I Grow, You Grow format for the garden consultation. And it's going to intersect all the different things and aspects of gardening. And then, like I said, you'll be able to record it so you can play it back and use it. If I give you a potion to use, if I give you a deer deterrent to use, you'll have it right there on the email link, and you can pull it back up, listen to it, and mix it up and go do it. The soap, like the lady said, the soap worked great. You know,
yeah.
the things you would never think that would work. So if I could urge you guys to do one thing, if you're going to start a garden or already got a garden or just want the knowledge of how to do it, you know, get you some gardening coaching, $10 an hour.
That's it. Amazing information, everyone. Mr. Anderson, it is always a joy and a pleasure and an honor to have you here, definitely embodying that energy, if we could say, of God Geb, really the God over the understanding about green magic. You know all of those things, and so it's always a pleasure to have you on the forum. We can't wait to hear what's coming up next for you.
I'm a Virgo.
Are you a Virgo?
Somebody asked, what's my sign? I'm a Virgo.
Sign, he's a Virgo. He's all things at this point. I think he done surpassed Virgo. I think he's all things. And beautiful, beautiful. So it is definitely an honor and a pleasure to have you here. For those of you who are listening and we're gone, because it looks like we're gone there in the chat room, you guys, download. We'll see you from there. Mr. Anderson, pleasure, honor. Everything. We have so much fun. We learn so much when you come. I Grow, You Grow .biz. You guys, you need to get on it. Get on
Thank
it.
Thank you, Ms. Blue. Thank you, Ms. Blue. It's a pleasure to teach, but it's an honor to learn. Thank you for teaching me so much and giving me great visions and great guidance. And I mean, you are definitely appreciated and an asset to the community.
Oh, well, thank you. Likewise to you. Likewise. And peace and love to you and your family over there. We will be in touch. I know you'll be back to share more with us. For those of you who have not had a chance to listen to all shows back in the archives, listen to those shows of Mr. Anderson that he has here. He is the official gardener for the Remix. And so definitely, I know you guys are all out there getting bitten by the green bug and the green thumb, and you're getting into your horticulture and really doing all of those things. So pantyhose and gloves, you can make it happen. You can make it happen. Peace and love to you, Mr. Anderson. Thanks for coming by, always.
All right. Fare you well.
All right. Peace. I love it when he says that. Fare ye well. All right, you guys, that's going to do it for us here live in the Remix. Don't forget, we have the show coming up on Sunday night. Sunday night, we will have Siba Haru Alke Bulan here. The following week after that, Brother Panic will be in the house and some other very, very special guests, so keep yourself locked in. And I look forward to connecting with each and every one of you, you guys. It's just going to be amazing. Take some pictures. Send them to Mr. Anderson. Also send them to myself. And send them to Mr. Anderson and also send them to myself because I would love to see them. Put them up on your Facebook wall so that we can see those pictures, see how you guys' garden is going and everything that is going, all things in green magic for you guys, and let us know how that's working out. I see so many people are doing that, and that is definitely amazing. Someone said, are we going to be doing an after-hour show? Sure. If you're on the phone lines, you have something you want to share, press 1. Press 1 if you're already on the phone lines and we can do it. If not, then we're going to be bouncing up out of this piece. I just want to say the readings this were amazing. Lots of baby lotus readings went out there and lots of great feedback from all of you parents, mothers, and daddies who requested to have the readings for your children, which are readings done for children 18 and under, baby lotus and glowing lotus. So those are going very, very well. Lots of powerful confirmations coming for the parents and coming for myself as well as doing those. So these are things that are tailored just for your baby, so not some computer-generated report that's just going to tell you some scripted things. These are definitely things. I do them the same way I do all of the readings, and so they are just simply amazing, and I love them. I love connecting with you guys. I wish we could hang out longer, but I guess you guys don't have any questions. Nobody's on the phone line pressing one, so I guess no after hours tonight. I guess we'll be moving into Sunday. So I will see you guys on Sunday. Chaos is telling people to press 1. Nobody's pressing 1. If somebody just pressed 1, no, you took yourself off. So you need, whoop, there goes some 1s. Chaos, what you done did. Okay, so we'll go to the phone lines. We'll stay here a little bit, chill for a little bit, see if you guys have some questions. And or maybe you maybe you want to think, I don't want you. Maybe you want to ask some questions. So going to the caller, looks like calling in from 843. You're live in the remix.
Hi, Miss Blue. This is Nancy again.
Hey, Nancy.
I have been looking for the black kale seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not seeing them. I'm seeing something that's called black kale, but it looks like it's kind of green looking.
Okay.
And then the black kale seeds are overseas, like in the UK?
Mm-hmm. Well,
is that where we order them from?
I don't think that's where Mr. Anderson is getting them from. I think you have to actually, for the seeds, I think that's actually a transplanted plant at certain times of the year. But he's not actually on the phone right now. I don't think Mr. Anderson is still with us. So
okay.
That'll be a great question to reach out, maybe hit him on Facebook and ask him and email him, and he can answer that question as well, too. Hmm?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Nancy.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. We're going to go to the next caller. Calling in, it looks like, from area code 816. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Greetings. This is Blue. This is Job Power again. I just wanted to apologize for, I think I called Mr. Anderson Dr. Hugh at one time. So I just wanted to apologize for that.
Oh, that's
I was listening to Brother earlier today, and, you know, he was talking much about using different vegetables in your diet. And, you know, the two and two go together.
Yes, so, they do. And actually, Doc was in the house tonight. So, you know, they're both powerful and amazing brothers. To apologize is to say that that energy is not true. So no apology needed. None.
That was it.
Okay.
I just listening, and I enjoy everything that's going forward. Thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome. Peace and love. Okay. We're going to go to the next caller. All right. Chaos. We're going to be on here long, so we're going to go to the next caller. Calling in, it looks like, from area code, I believe, 201. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from. 201. 201. They're not at their phone. All right, going once, going twice. Nobody puts their hand up. We're going to be closing out. I guess nobody has questions, which is a great thing. Hopefully you guys are getting some of that energy from the full moon that's out there, maybe charging up your crystals and doing those things. So just some amazing things going on, as always. It's always good to connect with the Remix family. Fridays are special days for me, and I'm sure they are for you. So I look forward to seeing you guys Sunday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to get ready to get out of here. Hit me up on Facebook. Hit me up on Twitter. I don't know if I'll do a blue blast tonight, but who knows? Maybe. Maybe we can blast off and do a little bit of melanin in our work, or get a couple of laughs in, which is always good to do. Thank you for all of you guys being true to who you are and reaching out and reaching out to me. I've gotten your emails, me and Sister Munya, definitely working to get those things answered and connect with them. And thank you for telling me all of your stories as well, your mythology, the things going on in your life and how these things are helping you, how the sessions are helping you to continue on your path and journey, helping to empower you, helping you go to the next level, because it's definitely helping myself as well. So we get to be each other's reflection. And I'm always thankful for those honest and true reflection and vibration that I can see. Because sometimes some of those other vibrations are a little twisted. So peace and love, family. We're going to go ahead and get out of here. Let's see if we can have some music to sort of kind of take us out of here a little bit. Let's see. Maybe since we brought this up, Roy Ayers, Third Eye. Remember when Brother Bobby Hemmett was on the show and we played this? We'll play Roy Ayers to take us out of here. And so to everyone, I wish you peace and love and good night. If you want to reach out, you know how to reach Brother Bobby Hemmett. You can do that by calling 678-358-1055. You can do that. You need to reach out. He has a lot of amazing things. Picture packets, DVD, the lecture in New York, like all lectures were off the chain. That one was off the chain. A lot of goddess information in there. Good information as well. And also the mirror that he has as well, too, that you can use. And also, you know how to contact Brother Panic. Brother Panic, P-A-N-I-C, Pack, P-A-C-K, at hotmail.com. You can get books from him, DVDs from him, well, CDs from him. And you can also get the world-famous Panic Pack, the Earth Pack. You can get that from him as well, too. So reach out to him. Also, you know how to reach out to me, question, Q-U-E-S-T-I-O-N, the number 4, blue, at gmail.com. Get information there. And who else? Gosh, it's so many people. Nancy Lockhart, she's right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can reach her on Facebook as well, too. She has her book out and also her show that she's doing as well when it comes to those things of taking care of legal aspects in our particular lives and how we can connect with that. And all of the brothers and sisters out there doing their work, because there's so many. I'll be here all night, name them all. But everyone is doing their work, and those that are doing it in a real, in an authentic way to themselves, not to anyone else, but to themselves, being true to that is what it is. I'm looking for a song by the OJs. I really should play that, but I don't know if I can find it. Well, let's just play The Third Eye by Roy Ayers to get us out of here. So peace and love, you guys. See you Sunday night.
Seeking to find the third.
What an amazing song. Look to the Sky, Third Eye by Roy Ayers. Well, that's going to do it for us here in the remix tonight. And I just want to say peace and love to everyone. Thank you guys so much for supporting the forum and also supporting yourselves, because many of you have all of your talents and gifts as well, too. So it's good to have you guys close by. So stay close. Peace and love, everyone, and much love, warm spirit. See you guys on Sunday night. Peace and love. Now I got to figure out how to get out of here. Close the door, everyone.